This podcast is a product of the Hyper RPG Podcasting Network. Visit hyperrabbitpowergo.com to learn more.
Hello, everybody. I'm Adam Coble, your Game Master for tonight's journey, brought to you by Banner Saga, Stoic Entertainment, Versus Evil, and of course, Hyper RPG. I'm joined tonight by a fine group of Vikings, which I will allow, because I don't know any of you at all yet, so I will let you introduce yourselves. Torvald, Mighty Torvald, why don't we begin with you?
Yes, I am Torvald Eriksson, the Beastmaster, and I have a bear named Bjorn.
You do, and who is playing Torvald tonight? You could tell us.
Oh, I'm Lasercorn. You might have seen me on Smosh Games or Toaster Ghost. But yeah, I do YouTube and Facebook stuff.
One of those is a made-up name, and one of them is a real name. Can you guess which one it is?
They're all made up, but yeah.
So next to Torvald, we have Isgard. Hi, hello.
Hello.
Tell us about yourself.
I am Isgard Burning's daughter, and I have quite an air of mystery around me, but I will speak up when necessary for the betterment of the party. I am played by Trisha Hirschberger. You may have seen me on Geek and Sundry or Newegg or SourceFed way back in the day. I kind of do the tech and the gaming stuff all over the world, or all over the internet, the World Wide Web, if you will. But I got my start as a hobbyist in tabletop RPGs, so I'm really, really happy to be a part of this, and I'm a huge Banner Saga video game fan, so I'm really excited to be here tonight, so thank you guys for having me.
Excellent. Thank you. I really like that everybody's doing reverse introductions, like it's your character introducing. I'm filled by a person right now. next up is our Shield Maiden, Sylvie. Hi.
Hello. I'm playing Sylvie Skold, the Shield Maiden, whose shield is proportionately too large for her small stature. I'm being played by Shubble or Shelby Grace. You can find me either on Disney XD, Facebook, or YouTube, where I play the video games sometimes.
Fantastic. Thank you. And as we shift to the Varl side of the table. Yeah, good. Those are good Varl voices. Nice. Good start. Let's introduce our Varl.
I am Magnus Olfsson, the Varl Shieldbanger.
Yeah.
I like to fight as much as I like to love. I am played by Andre from Black Nerd Comedy. You might have seen me on YouTube if your notifications work. I am on there making funny, silly videos. And I also Twitch as well under Black Nerd Comedy. And I occasionally host a work for hire type of guy. And I was also here at Hyper RPG for Power Rangers Hyperforce playing Eddie the Blue Ranger. Varl will not be like Eddie.
Magnus, the big Varl lover, is going to be really disappointed when he finds out there's no Varl women.
Oh,
but I don't know.
What?
You do have your Varl buddy Adric.
That's right. That's why I'm here. Who needs Varls before girls?
It's good. I like that.
May I introduce myself?
Please, please do.
I am Adric Frostbeard, the Varl warrior. I think humans are too sentimental, if you ask me. And I think this guy over here is a little soft for a Varl. And I'm played by, Steve Zaragoza. I'm Steve Zaragoza. I'm playing the role of Adric Frostbeard. You've seen me on a bunch of shit. SourceFed, SourceFed Nerd, Disney XD. And currently on The Valley Folk. A new thing. So cool. That's me.
Thanks, everybody. So this is our cast. We've got humans to my left and Varl to my right. Adventure all around. See, you got to be careful with that. The accidental Arnold Schwarzenegger. It happens to everybody.
Get to the chopper. Get to the stronghold.
I was finishing a playthrough of Banner Saga 2 very recently and could not help myself. Just the Arnold. So
okay.
You know what? If you want to go
back.
That way.
I'll hold back on the Arnold.
Don't get yourself to Mars yet.
Yeah,
but there
yeah.
may be time in
I'll
the
go
future.
More Stallone. With
sure.
Mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's good. Whoa. That's good. So for folks who are watching at home in chat, you have a few opportunities to engage with the cool thing that we're going to be doing tonight and for the rest of the Banner Saga campaign. First of all, you can win things, which is nice. So if you want to play the Banner Saga 1, 2, or the upcoming Banner Saga 3, Banner Saga will be in the chat, and they'll be handing out keys, just throwing them around. So be present for that. Banner Saga 3 premieres July 26th on all of the platforms. If you're interested in it, check out the link. The mods are going to be posting in chat and is down below. You can pre-order it. And if you do, your own Saga can get some very special allies. So check that out. And during the game, if you go to bannersaga.straylogic.com, you can join our caravan. So you can sign up with Twitter, and you can join the caravan. And throughout the campaign, I'll be giving you an opportunity to make choices for the group to show whether the caravan is pragmatic or compassionate or ruthless. Choose carefully, because your decisions are going to affect the narrative. But keep an eye on how everyone else is voting as well, because if there's dissent in the caravan, everyone's morale will degrade, and it's going to make things much tougher for the party. Though having said that, I'm sure everyone's just going to try and make it harder for you. We'll see how it goes.
Just get along.
Yeah. So if the caravan can manage to get along and they can decide to do similar things, then you'll get a bonus to your willpower when it matters most. And if there's dissent, you'll have to deal with chaos in the caravan. And we'll see how all of that plays out when we get into the game. Which I suppose we should do. So, once again, welcome to the Banner Saga and to Hyper RPG, and let's start the show. So when our saga begins, I'll let you imagine the sort of opening cutscene of this issue. So there've always been heroes. Their stories sung by skalds throughout time, mighty men and varl who fought with each other first, and then together in the Second War when the Dredge came. In the Second War, there are few as celebrated as the Shield Maiden Gudrun Hornbreaker. She fought in nearly every major battle against the Dredge, and her splintered shield hangs in the halls of heroes at Arborang. Now, unlike so many veterans of the war, Gudrun survived, and now, some years later, she's finally retiring from her warrior's life. Some say it's the influence of her husband-to-be, a skald of renown named Volander. Whatever her reasons, Gudrun and Volander intend to retire to an idyllic life in their longhouse, Grinholm. To celebrate, they'll finally be wed, and everyone who dwells within 100 miles of Grinholm are invited to celebrate with them. Now, every chief in every town is going to send a caravan, some laden with gold, others with gifts of story and song, to prove their gratitude to the Shield Maiden who gave so much of her life to both men and Varl. And so, to you, who dwell in the village of Kettleguard, falls the honor of delivering a gift worthy of a warrior queen. You bear with you the sword Aelfgard Dredgehammer, a blessed blade and treasure of your people. You set out on the road to Grinholm, the dredge hammer in your care, a wedding to attend. So as the group of you prepare yourselves to journey out, I'll give everybody a chance to give us like a little scene with your character, and you can kind of introduce what they look like, what they might be up to in their preparation for the journey. But before we do that, I have a decision that I need the caravan to make. So caravan, as you prepare for the journey with our friends, as you set out from Kettleguard for the wedding of Gudrun Hornbreaker, you get to take a moment to gather something extra. So we need to know what it is. Do you take with you a memento from home to remind you of family and friends who are unable to make the journey? Do you bring a little extra meat and salt in case the trip goes long, because it's better to be safe than sorry? Or do you bring a sharp knife and a thick cloak, because there's more than just a long road ahead of you? So go ahead and start laying in your votes for what you, the caravan, want to bring with you, and for everybody else, let's get to know your characters. So Torvald, you have a pet, and I would love to see you. Wait, so tell us about your pet, Torvald.
Yes, my pet is a bear named Bjorn, a fierce creature with a scar on his right eye from past battles, and he's tagging along with me. I heard the wedding needed a ring bearer. he's been with me ever since he was a cub. He's grown up with me, fought alongside me, and we've been best of friends ever since.
So Bjorn was raised to fight? Mm-hmm. Bjorn is like a battle
bear? I found him in the forest, and he's fought alongside me ever since he was young.
And is this something that you were trained to do by like an elder of the village, or is this something?
Yes, an uncle of mine actually taught me the way of the beasts.
Excellent.
Yes, okay. And so we can communicate just as easily as I would communicate with any man or horseborn or Varro.
And is that true? Everybody else, like, or does Torvald just think that he's capable of communicating with regular folks? How do we feel about Torvald?
This is how we interact, yes?
Right.
Yes.
I think he speaks a lot of words, but I have not seen a lot of action.
Mm. Oh, you'll mm-hmm. see action.
So for folks who might not be versed in the world of Banner Saga, humans are what you'd expect, human beings, much like us. But the Varl are a mighty race of horned giants who were once great enemies of mankind, but have now allied with them against a larger enemy who has just been driven into the north. This is a period of peace between Varl and man. But the Varl, they live forever. They are long-lived, but many of them have died in battle. And they have a bit of a tense relationship with humanity. Including goading them to proving themselves, it seems. So, Torvald, you spend most of your time with your bear, sort of?
Yes. I prefer the company of woodland creatures to people most of the time, but I can be sociable on occasion. I'm coming to a wedding.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And that's fantastic.
My uncle actually encouraged me to get out more, meet more human friends. So this is what I'm doing.
And is your uncle still around?
Yeah, he's still in the village.
Okay,
yeah.
And so your uncle's not able to come with you on this journey?
No, he's very old.
So it's because of his age?
Okay. Yes, his knees.
Okay, so he's infirm and has to stay. It's quite a long journey.
It is,
to Granholm. Okay,
yes.
Excellent. All right.
But I bear his best wishes to the bride and groom.
I get it. You bear his...
I actually did that on accident, but yes.
Good. Fantastic. Okay, great. Well, we probably see you then with your... What do you do to prepare your bear? Are you like... Does he have a harness you put on him, or are you just talking with him, getting your supplies?
No, I keep him calm. I just pet him. He needs no harness, nor would he accept one. He's very independent, but he can be very friendly as well.
Excellent. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. So Isgard, you're a bit of an outsider in the village as well. I probably weren't even invited to the wedding, like to come along with everyone. Because tell us about your relationship with the village and what your character is like. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I spend a lot of time on my own, not necessarily by choice, but because there are many in this town who distrust me.
Mm.
Because of what I'm capable of. I am not ashamed of what I'm capable of. I'm very proud of what I can do. And I know that it will be quite useful, which is why I'm going on this journey. Even though I was not necessarily invited.
But they need you, whether they will admit it or not.
Oh, most definitely.
Excellent.
Most definitely.
Okay.
So in preparation for leaving for this journey, I'm putting together a small satchel of relics and items that could be used for various things that most of the townsfolk probably will not understand.
Right, strange witch things.
If you will.
Okay. Good.
Some use that word. I do not.
Okay. All right. And so I don't imagine you need to... Like, do you live in the village or do you have like a hut outside the village that you stay in?
I live in the village, which most people may not even know because I keep to myself so often and hide my face in the shadows when need be because I'd rather not deal with the disdain that some look upon me with, which is entirely unwarranted.
Excellent. Okay, great. So almost the polar opposite, much beloved of everyone in the village, is our shield maiden, Sylvie. And this is especially an important moment for you because you've known the stories of Gudrun your whole life, right? Like she's been a hero as long as you've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What is your place in this caravan? Are you excited? Are you like running around getting everyone to go? Are you the first one up in the morning when it's caravan day, or are you a bit more reserved? What's your situation?
I'm definitely very excited because I look up to this person as like a role model for myself. I know that I'm small and I've always been kind of the runt of my village, and nobody has really thought that I was capable of being a warrior of any kind, but I'm going out on this journey to try and prove that I am strong enough.
Mm-hmm. So you're hoping there's going to be some trouble that you can prove
a little
yourself
bit. I think I can handle myself. I can take it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. And you mentioned your shield before. is this a shield newly forged and given to you as a gift, or is this like bestowed to you by a family member? Where did you get this shield from? Is it significant in some way?
The shield was left to me by my father, who died when I was young. He was a victim of the dredge, and so though it's very large, I've managed to gain the strength to carry it, and so I feel very honored to carry my father's shield.
And it's the shield that he used in battle against the Dredge?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So either a blessing or a curse, depending on your opinion of your father's luck.
True, but I think I might have better luck than him, and at least I have his blessing with me.
Good, good. Okay, great. And so you're out with the rest of the caravan, like, helping secure supplies, or are you on your own? Like, where are you when we see the, like, if we imagine the opening scene of all of the yaks being attached to their carts, people loading the carts, where do we see Sylvia? Are you running around, or are you...
I'm definitely out playing my part, trying to do as much for the crew as I can to try and prove that I am capable of being on this trip with everybody, since I'm pretty small and it seems like I probably would get kicked around pretty easily. I want to prove that I can handle all the things, carry all the hay bales, do whatever is needed around.
Mm. Okay, great. Yeah, and they'll put you to work, right? Folks are definitely getting you to, like, help. And everyone's happy to see you. This is the sort of, like, the sort of Disney princess moment where, like, everybody's, like, waving to you and they recognize you and they see you as someone significant. And you're kind of a good luck charm, even if there's some sort of patronizing from the other members mm-hmm. of the party. Okay, great. Well, so towering above the rest of the caravan, I think, and the two of you can tell me, but are you the only Varl that live in the village? Like, your people are pretty rare, but is it just the two of you?
It seems to be. It seems that way, yes.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you lead a bit of a lonely existence among these humans, but they literally and figuratively look up to you. So when the caravan is declared, you know that even though she was human, Gudrun is a hero to all people. She fought bravely in the war, an honorary Varl to many. So what is your response to the caravan? Are you looking forward to this journey, or are you a bit reluctant to go?
Well, I do respect Gudrun. If there was ever a human I would ever put on the same level as the Varl, which there are not many in that would fit that level, I would say that she has come closest, although I still feel this whole marriage is quite an archaic tradition, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I feel like once you find your mate, you do what you need to do and you move on.
Of course.
There's more things to do than celebrating small, trivial things like connections.
Right, and the humans live such short lives that, I mean, she's already old.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sickness and old age. They don't sometimes always die in the glory of battle like we Varl do.
Ah,
yes.
Ah.
So are the two of you then? What's the scene then? I guess are you like together when everybody is gathering for the caravan, or do you have your own tasks to attend to?
I think we stick together. I think we are. I mean, we know each other well. We know each other, and I think that's as far as I'm willing to express at this point.
Okay. All right.
Well, don't ask anymore.
You're a community of two, right? You're separated a bit from the humans, but you're tied to their fate.
Well, we stand out a little bit.
Yes. Just a little, yeah.
Can't help that.
Okay. All right. So, I think that much like our shield maiden, you're being given, like, menial tasks, and often without thought, right? Someone will say, like, oh, can you move this wagon over here? Because you're a big Varl, you'll do it.
Yes. We used to have our bodies drenched in the blood of combat.
That's right.
And now we're doing menial chores.
That's right.
For these weak humans.
But it still builds muscle.
Yes, I suppose.
Necessary for the battle ahead.
I suppose.
Which of the two of you is older? Which is the older Varl of the two?
I think I'm older.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think so. We don't talk about our ages. It's disrespectful.
Okay. Sure. Yes. That's good. I like it. So you just, it's not, you don't establish a hierarchy between the two of you. It's just kind of like...
Well, my beard is greater, so I believe that you can tell.
Right. It speaks for itself.
For sure.
Yes. Of course.
And my horns are a bit larger as well.
Mine are still growing.
So, Adric, then, when was the last time that you were in a big fight? When was the last time you were in a big battle?
Well, I fought someone last night.
Okay, right.
In the bar.
Good. Okay, yeah. So you're a bit of a troublemaker, so maybe the village is looking forward to getting you away from them for a bit?
Well, you know, I'm always looking for a fight, but I won't say that, I ask for it. You know, I think it just happens, and I'm here to facilitate any muscle necessary.
Most of the time, though, your fights don't result in death or bloodshed in the village, I imagine.
Absolutely not. I'm respectful of the town. They allow me to live here, and plus the place I live has a high ceiling, which is very important to me.
So did the humans build a domicile for you to live in, did you do it yourself?
It seems the domicile was unoccupied when I came to it. I think they stacked hail bays in there.
Right.
And
okay.
So, Yeah, hay bales is what I meant to say.
It's okay. The human tongue is confusing. Yeah. I understand, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're all gathered, and the caravan is being ready to head out. But before it does, you need to decide which of you is going to lead the caravan. There is a long road out into the open plains, and then you'll need to make your way through the old woods, across the river beyond, and then find Grinholm in the hills. So someone needs to lead the way. Who among you will take on this task? The caravan is gathered, sort of waiting for someone to say, "This way, let's go."
Well, I'm no leader, but I have no fear. So I would gladly lead us through. Even though I think the journey is rather foolish, in my opinion. But I don't mind being the one that leads the way. You know, we Varl are steadfast and strong.
Seconded. I saw him in the bar last night. I won a pint by betting on you, yes.
Nice, yes. Nice. Enjoy it, my friend.
Thank you.
Yes.
Is there any dissent, or are you willing to let this brash Varl lead the caravan?
I mean, you should know that I lead with a head of strength, you know? I mean, my thing is I really want to fight. I'm looking for a fight.
Do you have your weapons with you?
Of course. I have a broadsword, and I have my chainmail. Greatsword.
Yeah, Idric is making this claim clad in full battle regalia with a sword near twice as tall as Torvald is.
What we need is brains rather than brawn out in the situation?
I take offense, but I understand.
Idric, while your rage and prowess in battle will not be contested, if you need someone in all of this struggle to see a little further ahead or see what others cannot, I would gladly be that ear for you.
Well, personally, excuse when I say this, I find your use of magic quite foul. But I do agree that perhaps we need someone with a bit more foresight to lead us ahead. As long as I stay away from your magic.
You will not be forced to do anything you are uncomfortable with?
Oh, I won't be forced to do a thing, my dear. I'm a Varl.
That you are.
Does this seem, Shieldman, does this seem right to you that a witch should lead your caravan? How do you feel about her? Do you trust this mysterious woman?
I haven't been one to really trust the people who use the magic arts, but I also don't want to jump to conclusions. But to lead our caravan, I don't know if that would be the most wise. Which is why I think we should use someone who would think with their brains rather than their muscles. Which maybe that would be me. I can be put up to the task. I can prove that I'm worthy of the praise that I've been given.
She can barely heft that shield. I say we have the big Varl lead us.
I do say that perhaps the clean and unsullied face of a woman could perhaps be a friendly, addition to leading us forward. I do agree with that.
Maybe we can avoid situations of battle if I look friendlier.
We might also look weak if we are led by someone who seems to not be able to handle a weapon well.
I can handle my weapon.
That is yet to be seen.
So while this whole conversation went on, I already started leading.
Right, so you've just, like, walked off?
I just, like, started walking with the caravan.
Okay. Well, let's see if anybody followed you. Let's have you make a roll.
Oh, shit.
Roll your roll a d20 and add your influence.
All right. 10 plus 2 is 12.
So you have 12? Okay, yeah. I think that as you're bickering, maybe Torvald, since you're not like fully in the argument, you notice Magnus start to walk off, shield in hand, and a few of the other members of the caravan kind of look after him like, "Oh, I suppose we're going." And so some of them
Bjorn
go.
Is following Magnus, so I trust his instincts. I'm going to follow Bjorn. Let's
right.
go.
Right, where goeth the bear, so
yes.
goeth Torvald. Okay.
And I see no issue in following a Varl.
All right, so the two of you then have a moment as the momentum starts to build and the caravan begins to head out. The two of you have a moment if you want to like say anything about how these things have been going, or like you have a second of sort of privacy between the two of you.
I think you would make the wiser choice as leader between the two.
I do appreciate your input.
We will go along with what is going on, but if the moment arises for you to take a leadership position, I would support you.
And can I trust your support?
Always.
We will see.
Right. So the caravan sets out across the plains. It is sort of mid-autumn, which means the sky is dark. It's cloudy. There's a cold wind blowing in from the north. It's like to be a difficult journey, but your caravan has food and water. You have supplies, certainly enough to get you to Grinholm, provided nothing goes wrong. Food even enough to feed a pair of strapping Varl. So as you set out across the plains, your destination is the edge of the old woods and a pathway through. But to get there safely, I need a survival roll from whoever's in charge. So let's see how that goes.
All right.
Now, the humans, in their thirst for knowledge in their short lives, they have time to develop some skills, whereas the Varl rely purely on your attributes. So I'm going to need you to roll a knowledge roll for me.
Okay.
And watching this, anyone who, I think Torvald and maybe Isgard also, anyone who has the survival skill,
Oh shit! Sorry.
You're able to see everything that your Varl companion is doing and kind of pick out.
I do have survival. Yes.
Yeah. So you can if mistakes are made, you are keenly aware of them. But also, if he does a great job, you can see that it's like you're aware of what's going on mm-hmm. in the situation.
Okay.
So what do I roll for knowledge?
Same thing. So roll a d20, and right. You're going to add or subtract your.
I don't have any knowledge.
Okay. So it's plus zero.
18.
Ah. All right. So. Is this, and I'll let you decide this, is this, like, practice, or is it luck that sort of, like, do you just get good weather and some time passes uneventfully, or are you showing to Torvald and the rest of the group that you are practicing, that this is something you've done before?
Oh, I've definitely, like, you mean, done this path before?
Or just journey like this, led a caravan? Yeah.
Yes, I have definitely led before a caravan.
Okay.
Adric knows this.
Yes, of course.
Yes, he taught me well.
Okay.
I would have gladly have had anyone else do it, but the conversation just got boring to me.
Yeah, right, and you knew that you were in a good position. Okay, so Torvald, you see this.
Yes, like it's Bjorn doesn't follow unworthy leaders. His instinct is always pretty spot on. So yes, it's no surprise to me that Magnus is leading well.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I do respect the humans. Opportunity to give to this type of adventure, but I feel that brute strength needs to be forward and center, just in case there are any dangers around these areas. One can never be too careful.
Excellent. Okay. Cool. So time passes. Several days go by under the leadership of your walking mountain friend, and because of your guidance, because of your awareness in this situation, the storm that comes with some warning. You can see it about a day off. Massive rolling storm clouds coming down from the north, thick with rain. You can hear peals of thunder in the distance the night before it arrives. But there's no avoiding it. Within a day, the storm will be on you like a hungry wolf, and there will be flooding, and there will be wind and rain. But you have a chance now to prepare or to do something about it. Torvald, I think the two of you are the ones that are aware of this. You notice it. Maybe let's open a scene where you can talk about it. So I think that this is as you are setting camp, people are starting to set their campfires, huddling around a fire with their cloaks. The people that are making up the caravan are blissfully unaware of the potential tragedy the weather is about to dump on them in the next day. But Torvald, you and Magnus have a moment to talk about it. So Torvald, do you come to Magnus and say like, "Hey, I know this is happening," or do you bring it up with the group?
Yes, I will come to him.
Okay.
No doubt, Magnus, you've heard the thunder in the distance. You see that the storm will be on us soon.
Yes.
What do you think we should do here?
Well, if this was a party of just us, Varl, we could forge ahead. But considering we have many others with us, of different statures of handling such things, we may unfortunately have to set up camp.
Yes.
Just to keep ourselves strong and to make sure that we do not lose any supplies through the great weather.
Yes. Agreed. Yes. Somewhere not on high ground, though, so we don't get struck by lightning if that happens.
Truth.
Yes.
Okay. So how you go about that? Like, the caravan doesn't know they're in any danger yet. You can see they've already kind of settled in this little lowland area for the night, and they won't be happy if you have to rouse them all again and break camp.
All right. I would like to speak with Izgrod.
Okay. Yeah, you want to go seek out Izgrod? Okay, so Izgrod, where are you this evening? Night has fallen, so it's dark. Maybe there's the last sort of bits of twilight. And you can already start hearing people starting to sing and recite stories to each other to kind of ease their way into night. The air is full of smoke and the smell of food. Where are you?
I'm sitting by one of the campfires that's being used for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And just staring into the flames, humming to myself.
Okay.
Not at all creepy.
No, certainly not. Well, I was going to say, the other members of the caravan that are with you, they've all kind of like left you to your devices. So you're sitting there by yourself. So that's where you find Izgrod, sitting by herself around a sizable fire.
Witch.
I do not know to whom you speak. My name is Izgrod.
Very well. Izgrod. It is not likely for a Vol to ask for assistance from a human in this way, but there is a presence of a storm brewing. I'm pretty sure with your prowess of magic, you probably have felt it.
I am aware of something coming, yes.
Is there any way, and I dread to ask this, because usually I can use my brute strength to solve most problems, but one can't punch the weather. So, is there anything that you can do with your powers to protect these people from this upcoming storm?
I will be honest with you. I cannot control the forces of nature. I can simply try to commune with them and deal with the raw power that they have after the fact. If we need help in that circumstance, I am happy to oblige. But there's nothing I can do to prevent what's coming.
Then we're going to have to make sure that all these people are safe and protected until this storm is over.
Absolutely.
I would like to... Is there any way that I can survey the area for any spots, like caverns or any kind of dry areas?
Yeah, so the area that you're in is sort of a like a marshy grassland. It's not full-on like swamp or anything, but this time of year, it's kind of going to freeze. The grass is all kind of dying off. You know you're a few hours away from a stream, which almost certainly will flood when the storm comes. But it's night has fallen, and so even if you were to climb up to one of the sort of nearby hillocks, you'd only really be able to see the fires of the camp and the sky. And soon, even then, it'll be dark.
Okay. Well, then I believe that we're going to need to convene with all the people.
Okay. Sure. How do you do that?
So I blow.
Who disturbs my nap?
It is I.
Magnus.
Magnus, yes, that's my name.
Mm-hmm.
There is a storm coming. I have spoken with Izgrod, and unfortunately, magic does not seem to protect us, so we're going to have to protect ourselves. We can't go any further. There is a stream up ahead, and if we are near it when the storm arrives, we will have to deal with flood, which ruin our supplies, if not much worse.
Well, truly, we don't have to worry, brother. We're big enough to survive a storm.
We are big enough, but however, we have others with us that may not be as strong and sturdy during the rough weathers.
I find it hard to believe, even with as big as you are, you can handle a storm as big as this one.
Well, I haven't bathed in some time, but I am looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, whose idea was it for us to come to the low ground? Had you already discussed this with any other party members?
Are you dare challenging my leadership?
Well, it just seems to me that if there's a storm coming, the low ground is where the most flooding will be.
The young one has a point. If we go to high ground, we might be safer from flooding.
But we would be more prone to lightning. Lightning strikes.
I think only you with the horns is more
well,
prone.
Well, I mean, these two very tall Varl would probably be the first struck.
But surely they're strong enough.
We can create a shelter of sorts to protect us from lightning. I'm not too worried about that.
Well, if the Varl aren't worried about getting struck by lightning, then I suppose I'm not either.
Well, fine then. We'll take the human's advice, and I guess we'll go to high ground.
Thank you.
You should have asked me first. I would have suggested high ground.
Just don't wave your sword around in the air.
I don't know my own strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
So you're going to go and gather the caravan and tell them that it's time to pack back up and set out?
Well, it was the human's idea to do so, so...
Maybe if you had discussed it when you noticed the storm before moving us the first time.
You've gotten your way. Don't push it any further.
Understood.
It might be best not to piss off the giants.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
Thank
just,
you.
Just saying.
Okay, so who delivers that news? Are you going to go and tell the people that it's time to go?
Sure.
Okay, what does that look like? How do you get everyone's attention?
Okay, I'll just I'll bang on my shield to make sure everyone around can hear that. Now, everyone, we're packing back up. We're going to move up to high ground to make sure that the flood doesn't take away any of our supplies.
Let's have you make a roll to see if you can get people's attention.
Okay.
Because people are already breaking out the mead. We're done marching for the day. It's time to drink and to sing and to eat. And here comes Sylvie banging on her shield. Let's have you, D20, and add your influence. And I think to get everybody's attention, you're going to need like a 14 or better.
Okay, and I have zero influence.
You do have zero. It's going to be challenging for you.
16.
Ah, but you do it. Okay. So why do people pay attention to you? Is it just like they're used to knowing where you are and listening to you, or did you do something special to get their attention?
I think just with who I am has gained a certain amount of respect, even though I haven't really done much to earn it, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But with me being a shield maiden of, you know, my name, they're prone to just listen to my word.
Right, okay.
And my knowledge.
So it sounds like there's that fear that eventually that authority will run out. Like,
yeah, because I feel that I haven't done enough to earn this kind of respect.
Okay, so give us your little, like, what do you say? You get like, initially you get everybody around you's attention, and they're like, shut up, quiet everyone, like, Sylvie needs to speak. And maybe somebody gets you, like, a barrel to stand on. and then, yeah, so what do you say?
Okay, well, with an oncoming storm of its size, I believe... And we've discussed that it might be the best decision for us all to move up to high ground. That way we risk as few lives as possible and we don't lose any more of our supplies.
And most of the people gather around you kind of grumble and sigh and roll their eyes like, we've just settled in, we have to put the fire out.
We've all just gotten comfortable, but to save as much time and resources and energy as we can, I think it's better for us to be in a safer space so that we can move on in the morning when the storm has passed.
So while you're speaking, you hear from the darkness outside of the fire, you hear a voice just shouting, boo! Boo! Quiet!
It might not be the most pleasing decision. I know everyone's gotten settled in, but I think it's the wisest, and it's the one that's going to keep us the safest.
And you hear the same voice be like, but I'm already tired! We've marched all day, damn you! And you see a familiar figure stumble into the light. This man, his name is Svert, and he has been a problem for some time. Svert used to be a great warrior, but was injured in battle, his very first battle with the Dredge, and was sent back to the village to recuperate, and he's just never quite recovered. And it seems he's got quite a head start on everyone on the mead drinking. And he comes staggering out, holding his horn, sloshing what remnants of mead it has. And he points, like, vaguely near where you are, squinting in the dim light. And he says, I take no orders from a little girl. I say we stay. The kitten's afraid of a little thunder. And a couple of, like, the guys around him are like, yeah, Spurt's right. It does. I want to stay here, too, and get drunk like Spurt.
I'm going to take a step forward up to where she is and say, listen to the wisdom of the girl. There are dark things coming you do not want to face.
So you want to try and intimidate Svert and his buddies? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Either I have persuasion or whatever we can use there.
Yeah, I think persuasion is realistic here because you're just working on one person. Influence is for sort of like convincing larger groups.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any skills that would apply? What are your
skills? So that's
your
persuasion is persuasion. That's right. So okay. Then would it be influence?
Yeah. Yeah. So add your influence to your persuasion. Let's see how you do.
That's a 7.
Ooh, a 7 is not going to be enough. So you just make Svert more upset, where he's like, oh, now we've a hag telling us what to do. Is that how it's to be? Are we not men, and he looks at you, and he's like, you, big man, do you take orders from these two?
Well, I certainly don't take orders from an injured coward who left battle not dying in honor on the battlefield.
Ooh. So bringing up Svert's old, like, injuries antagonizes some of the warriors who already, like, don't really like Varl very much, and they don't go so far as to, like, draw weapons because their weapons are, like, back at their tent. But they give you that, like, oh, you didn't. You did not just say that about our boy Svert. And they kind of, like, gather up around him and give you dirty looks and, like, kind of mumble to themselves. But you definitely feel the tension raise a little now from Svert's drunken rambling to, like, oh, you've offended a war veteran, and we're all a little angry about that, you weird outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do anything right away about that, or do you let them percolate?
I mean, I believe I'm intimidating alone in my, just in kind of the way.
Oh, so you just want to, like, double down and like,
I certainly
would.
I mean, I would just go so far as to say, is who wants to listen to a drunk anyway?
Yeah, I mean, logically, you make a good point, right? Like, there are some who are like, yeah, right, like, yes, Svert's, we know, but also he's sensitive, and you've just hurt Svert's feelings, and there is that moment where we'll see, right? The humans treat you like an outsider to begin with, and now you're offending one of their own, and we'll see how that goes. So let's have you make an influence roll.
Sure.
Yeah.
My influence is +2. Whoop.
Okay. Dexterity, not so much.
What do we see there?
It's 13. 13?
13.
Yeah, 15? Okay. I'm gonna roll. Let's see. Okay. All right. So... unless someone does something immediately, like, we get this vignette, right, this moment of, like, the flickering light, and we see Isgard and Sylvia on one side, and the humans kind of gather around. Adric, you step forward and kind of glower at them, and there's a moment there where if nothing is done, right, if nobody steps in, this is going to become a fight. It's going to be like a 6-on-1 Adric and these angry drunks.
So I will step right in front of them and give them the meanest Varl stare, like, to...
Jeez. I will join him and Bjorn. Bjorn will too.
Okay, all right. So you're like, you're showing that it's not just a Varl thing that you. Okay,
I'm quite tired of Svert's drunken ramblings. And Bjorn doesn't like him at all. Bjorn snarls every time Svert is near.
Mm-hmm.
Bjorn has no time for cowardice.
Okay.
So I speak this word, Svert. Svert.
Svert. Svert. But Svert also works. The V and the W are interchangeable. It's cool.
You are injured. So you have two options. One, listen to what the lady says, follow us to high ground. Or two, by you being injured, that makes you weaker than the rest of us, possibly holding us back. So we could just leave you here to fend for yourself, since you're quite the warrior you say you are.
Well, and he's weaker too, because he's a human.
There's also that.
Well, maybe don't bring that up, though. You were doing so well.
Right. Okay, well, let's...
The choice is yours.
I'll have you make a roll. You're being backed by Torvald here, so Torvald will give you a
plus... That was an aside, yeah.
Yeah, Torvald will give you the +1 to sort of help you bolster your influence, but Adric's also making it worse for you, so that just cancels it out. So just make an influence roll, and we'll see. We'll see how you do with... Oh, you're all doing so badly with Svert. He's just a drunk. Okay, all right. So
6.
You say that. You're like, you're injured. You're a liability, Svert. We could just leave you behind. We're giving you a mercy. And he looks at your knees. He's like, you can't talk to me like that. And he rushes at you.
Can I?
To take a swing.
Okay. Would it be possible for me to use this class ability?
You want to use your Ride the Lightning?
If I use Ride the Lightning, would it be possible to then cause lightning but not strike a specific target other than a tile or an area of land?
Yeah, you want to, like, well, I mean, you tell me what you want to do with it, because you have the ability to conjure bolts of lightning, and this is a great time for it.
Yep.
But, so, yeah, what is your, you tell me what your intent is, and then we'll have you roll, and we'll see what happens.
So, my intent is to cause lightning to come down from the sky in between them as Svelte rushes in to battle.
Okay.
And to have that jar and frighten them into believing that the storm is already here. And
right.
Then I will follow
like jar
that
them
up
into action. Right, like
right.
It's too late to argue about this.
Right, and then I will follow that up with a statement.
Okay,
that
yeah.
goes along with that.
Yeah, yeah.
To try to prevent the fighting.
Something about not being a conjurer of cheap tricks. I like it. Okay, So you spend a willpower. So Mark, mm-hmm. you've done that. You've got lots. Mm-hmm. So for everybody else, you have a pool of willpower that's available to you.
Yes.
You can use that mostly to activate your fighting abilities. But there are a couple of other things on there you can use it for. Everybody will have a different amount of willpower in your willpower pool. Isgard has the most, but she's also very fragile. So you can use it to conjure your lightning. Okay, cool. I don't think you need to roll. I think you just conjure the effect. It stops Svirt in his tracks, so he stumbles back, and you see the same look in many of their eyes that they were aiming at Adric before. You see fear and this like othering. They look at you like, oh, you look like a human, but like that's weird and not okay. But you have a moment. They're afraid of you. You can maybe try to turn that into something, but yeah.
The storm is already coming. We must get to higher ground. Do not listen to me. Listen to the gods above.
Yeah, and I think it starts to rain, right? Like the lightning that you conjured down kind of split the clouds, and not heavily yet, but the wind turns, and now everyone, not just Torvald and Magnus, can feel the storm. And so people start looking at each other. They're going to give the three of you like a pretty wide berth now. Svirt gives you a look. He looks at you and he looks at you and he's seeing quadruple, but the look means we're not done yet. And he slinks back to his camp with his friends. So who's in charge of the movement? Who keeps everybody going fast? Like what does that look like? Because the rain's going to get worse before it gets better.
I'll take charge because it was my decision to move everybody.
Okay. All right. So you kind of go out and rally everybody and get the yaks unbedded and lash everything together. Okay. Is there anybody who's not? Like, are you helping or are you feeling resentful? Where do you go, Adric, when it starts to rain and all these humans start scattering around like ants?
Well, I'm initially a bit upset about this fireworks display. I think we should have just killed the drunk and his friend. I think they're going to slow us down and be a problem later on, but who am I to say? I'll help, because I think it is important that we all move fast to higher ground.
Okay. All right.
But I don't like how we did this. I don't like how this went down. Okay. I was ready to fight.
Yeah. Well, you'll have an opportunity, right? Once you've moved the camp and get everybody together, you'll have an opportunity to talk to Isgard or to the others about it. Okay. Cool. All right.
I'll begin slinging some packs onto Bjorn's back as we begin to move to higher ground.
Yeah, Bjorn grumbles at the extra labor. He's not a pack bear,
no,
but
he understands we need to move quickly. This isn't a common occurrence. Calm down, Bjorn. Calm yourself, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, he follows you. He's a loyal bear, and he takes your commands.
He
kind of
groans.
Yeah.
And then he starts, trudging up to higher ground.
Okay. In the middle of the process, there's a woman, and she has a child. It's maybe like 2 or 3, and when she thinks you're not looking, she puts her kid on the bear so she doesn't have to carry him.
Yeah, Bjorn kind of looks back on his back and then does a slow bear head shake and then just continues on.
The kid gets two grubby handfuls of Bjorn fur and just like looks excited about this, but Bjorn is not so much.
Bjorn's like, this isn't a petting zoo. That's what he's thinking.
Okay, so the woman, she knows that you notice, and there's a moment of like thankfulness that anything that you can do to help ease her burden, she appreciates.
I find it. I think the kid looks cute riding Bjorn. Bjorn is less thrilled about it, but he accepts it.
Okay, great. All right, so you load up your animals, and do you lead everyone up the hill, or are you the last one to go?
I'm the last one to make sure all of the women and the children and all the animals make sure that they get up the hill, and everyone's ahead.
Okay, cool. All right. So I
would like to speak to Sylvie as we move
up. Sure. Yeah. You can see that she's hanging back and getting everybody ready.
Yeah. So I walk up to it's like. So how does it feel to get your way as a leader?
I didn't mean to try to undermine your position or your authority, but I did feel that it was a smarter decision.
Very well. I want you to look ahead at all these people, these men, women, children. Every time me and the Varl have gone out, including times where I've led, we've always come back with less. And as leader, I've always had to put that on my shoulders. Over time, I was able to harden so it would not hurt me as much. You have lived a very pampered and privileged lifestyle. So know that when you lead, if any of these men, women, or children die, that will be on you. I hope you're prepared for that.
I believe that I am, but I do appreciate you trying to warn me. But I understand what comes with responsibility of leading.
Not a warning, just the truth. Then I walk off.
Okay, all right. Thanks. So you start heading up the hill. And yeah, I think we get the sort of interstitial as the rain comes on in full effect. We can see at a distance the group of you slowly making your way up this hill, pressing on into night. Now, waking everybody and gathering them, it does take time, and they are well fatigued by the time you arrive. And there's only a half a night remaining of sort of miserable, damp sleep. Does everybody rest? Do you take the opportunity to rest out those hours, or is there something you want to do during the night before the storm kind of fully comes on?
I believe all the work maybe calls for some rest from moving the entire camp.
Yeah,
that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I have a hard night's sleep wondering if this was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Now that I've moved everyone and everyone's tired, we get less sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
But before everyone goes to bed, I want to make it clear that I believe the way we handled this wounded animal was
Yeah, you want to have a conversation
yeah.
with us? Now, so who do you want to talk to about that? Do you want to talk with everyone, or do you go talk to Isgard alone?
I think I'd like to talk with everyone because I don't really want to talk to Isgard alone.
Right, okay, yeah. Sure.
I don't know what she's capable of, kind of mysticism,
yeah, it sounds,
mind tricks.
It sounds to me a little like you're afraid of her.
I just don't want to deal with any of that right now.
Sure, I understand.
I don't like to confront things I can't punch.
I mean, you could punch her.
Certainly, but I can't punch her abilities.
That's true. You can't punch magic. And you never know, she might turn you into Newt or something. She's dangerous.
Sure.
Okay, all right, so who do you gather for
I
that?
I think I gather everyone, and just to say, and even still, too, Magnus as well. And I just want to say that I believe the way we handled that situation with the drunken animal was not the way to handle it. I think he's going to be a problem, and I think we need to keep a watchful eye on him.
Right. And how would you have handled it exactly?
I would have murdered him.
Right. We humans don't really take kindly to you murdering one of us. That would have probably caused a much larger problem.
Fine. Not murder him. Just leave him behind.
Yeah.
If that way, if he dies on his own, it's on his own accord.
He seemed to not want to go along with the group idea anyway. Perhaps it would have been best to leave him.
If there's anything that we can do as a group to make sure that everyone makes it through, then I think we should do that first.
I just think we should be cautious, that's all.
Yes, we have to make sure that everyone that is involved in this caravan cares for the caravan first. No personal achievements of their own.
Sure, but the next time something like this happens, I'll break his other leg.
Right, again, that may be a bit of an extreme measure. Perhaps we could tell him to quit drinking so much. Maybe no more rations of mead for him.
So don't hurt anyone, says the man with a bear. Is it just for transportation?
No, I don't ride the bear. No, calm down, Bjorn, he's joking.
Alright, let's compromise. We'll break a finger.
Alright, that's, yes, better than the other alternative, I suppose. But I really think we could get through this without, you know, breaking anything.
Caution with dissenters is always wise.
Yes, thank
However,
you.
From a pragmatic standpoint, I believe we will need all the arms we can get in case we face trial along our journey.
But what good is a drunken arm in the heat of battle?
Well, by morning he won't be drunken anymore, and maybe we can discuss with him his drinking problems and prevent this from happening again.
Some sort of intervention.
We'll gather all of his friends and family.
I see, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, except that all of his...
It could work.
All of his friends are also drunks. Isgard, you know a little bit more about Svirt probably than the rest, but he... Like, he wasn't a bad guy before. Like, he wanted to go out to war and do something for the cause, and it didn't go well, and he never had a chance to prove himself, and he was wounded in battle, and he came home, and he never healed right, and everyone else got to go out and fight this glorious war. At least that's how he saw it. And he turned to drink out of, like, shame. Mm-hmm. So he's not... I mean, maybe he's a bad guy. I'll leave that moralizing up to you. But you know that there's more to it than just, like, him being a drunken jerk. It seems like the Varl might be missing the deeper stuff about this guy.
The dredge leaves scars that sometimes one cannot see.
After this meeting, I'm concerned now. I don't want to see fighting break out between the men and Varl. And I saw how riled up the men get. I would like to approach Svirt and maybe tell him to dial it back.
Yeah.
Okay. They're literally discussing killing you, Svirt. You might want to not antagonize them any further.
Okay, so wherever the rest of you are having this conversation, Torvald and I assume Bjorn,
yes,
leave and head out either to find their own tent or whatever. And so, Torvald, you go across the camp and you find where Svirt and his friends are sitting. They've got a piece of canvas tent that's like strung up, and then the campfire that's more smoke and ember than it is fire. Mm-hmm. And they're all sitting around it, their beards hanging wetly from their faces, drinking from a mead cup, and grumbling and griping to each other. They're all like older. Like, how old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes. So they're all like probably 20, 30 years older than you.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Not like old men, but they're kind of done with being warriors.
Yeah.
And so they're just sitting and drinking and kind of telling war stories. And when you approach, they look up and Svirt kind of glowers at you. And he says, what do you want?
Hey, Svirt, I was hoping we could have a moment alone. I just wanted to talk to you for a minute.
He looks at his friends, and they all kind of, like, look at each other, and you can feel there's, like, some suspicion here. Svirt says, fine, Torvald, make a room, and they split up, and they give you some space to sit. And somebody puts this, like, massive horn full of mead in your hand, and some of it sloshes onto
you. Thank you.
And he just, like, they all watch.
Yeah. Svirt, I noticed you're having a little bit of friction with our Varl friends. And I just wondered if maybe you could take it easy on them. I mean, you know, their ways are different than ours. You know, there could be miscommunication. And they were talking about killing you. And honestly, I was a little worried about that. I don't know if they're joking or not. Probably.
And
probably. The Varl have a kind of morbid sense of humor.
When you say that, when you're like, oh, they were talking about killing you, it's as if you've confirmed something they were already talking about without having been present, right? There's a lot of, like, nods, like, see, I told you they were dangerous. And Svirt, he claps you on the back, and he says, ah, loyal Torvald. I thank you. It's good to know this.
Oops.
These Varl. There are some who think that just because they fought alongside us in the Second War that we can be friends. We can live with them.
Right, but let's seize on that. They did fight alongside us in that Second War. And, you know, I've been hearing tales that the Dredge could be more mobile now than they were. And I really think it would be best to keep this alliance strong. So maybe you could just lay off them a little bit.
If the lightning sets your home on fire and your neighbor helps you put it out, it doesn't always mean he's your friend. He might just be afraid of the fire spreading to his house. These Varl, they're not our friends.
Right.
They were our allies once, but now the Dredge is gone. And what do you think they're going to do?
Right, you've lost me. So are the Varl the lightning in this analogy, or the fire?
And then they're kind of like looking at each other like, guys, Torvald, he doesn't know anything about being a man or fighting. Like, and
It was a confusing analogy.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of drunk and angry and racist. So, of course, it don't make any sense.
I see this isn't really helping. I'll leave you to it. Just keep what I said in mind. You know, maybe not cause trouble with them. All right. Have a good night, fellas. Thank you for the meat.
Yeah. and they nod and they kind of go back to their conspiring. But yeah, you definitely seem to have reassured them of whatever it was that they were paranoid about before. So that's good.
Good job.
You know, yeah.
You're welcome.
You've done it. You did it. It just needed doing. So, the storm, unless anybody else has any, like, other night scenes, it sounded like everybody was going to go and rest after that. Yeah? Okay. All right. The storm continues. It lasts all the way through the night. The sun ostensibly comes up, but there's so much cloud that it's just like a slightly lighter version of the storm from before. It's too damp for the lightning to start any fires. But just as you said, and as Torvald concurred, if you look down from to where your camp used to be, the whole area is just flooded out. That section of the hillside has sort of slid down into the creek bed, and it has become a flowing river. It leads you to the question of kind of what to do now, right? You wake And things aren't much better. They're just continuing.
Well, it seems that you were correct. You saved us from a flooding.
But now, I'm not quite sure what the next move should be.
So what are our options?
Yeah, I mean, you have supplies, right, that you can carry on with. You could try to ford the creek now. You could wait here. You could see if there's a bridge somewhere on the creek further up that hasn't been, or further down that hasn't been washed out. As a group, you can kind of decide what risk you want to take here.
Well, it might not be a bad idea to send one or two of us to survey the area and see if there's a safe path through the weather.
Yes.
Or staying here could also be smart as well.
Bjorn and I would not mind scouting downstream to see if there's perhaps a bridge.
This Torvald seems loyal. I like that.
Yes, loyal Torvald. That is me.
He does have the face of a man who would never accidentally sell you out to some drunk.
No.
For sure. I like you, Torvald.
Perhaps well-intentioned Torvald would be a better moniker.
Good-hearted Torvald.
Good-hearted, yes.
For a human, yes. I think you're good.
Oh, thank you. I quite like you as well.
Thank you, Torvald.
Now that we all like each other...
I didn't say we all did.
We must progress. It is of the utmost importance that we get to Grinholm.
I would like to accompany Torvald.
Yeah?
On his journey to find...
Okay. All right.
Your company would be most welcome, Magnus.
The bear does seem to like
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah. Bjorn is never wrong.
So I have a question for you then. If you want to send Torvald and Magnus out to explore, where is the gift? Where is the sword that you're going to be giving to the Shield Maiden? Does one of you carry it on you? Who bears that honor? Or if not, do you keep it hidden away in one of the carts? It's an immeasurably valuable item. And so I think it's important that we keep it accounted for.
I have been watching it since we left.
Okay.
Since we left Kettlemark, and it is in one of the carts towards the front of the caravan.
Okay.
Secured very, very well.
And does anybody but you know that?
I'm not sure. I didn't bother to find out if anyone else had that knowledge. I just know that that's where it is, and I've been within 20 feet of it at all times possible.
Okay. Did anybody else notice that, or would anyone else have noticed Isgard, like, hovering around that particular cart?
I did not notice.
I feel so, but the matters of humans.
Yeah,
don't
they're weird to
me.
Begin with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing seems suspicious to me.
Yeah.
I would say that I was also around it because this is such an important thing, also for me personally.
Right. So you were probably there when the village elder like gave the sword to you to like take care of. And
mm-hmm.
Okay. So the two of you know where it is and
yes.
it's accounted for. Okay. Good. That is important to know.
I'm just here to fight. I don't really care for trinkets.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, when half of your friends leave, we'll see if you get your wish. So Torvald and Magnus, you're going to head downstream and look
yes.
for a safe place to ford the river?
Yes. We're heading downstream. We're looking for any bridge or like a large fallen tree or maybe a tree that's halfway fallen that my vile friend could maybe push over the rest of the way to get us across.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If anything, you might find a safe place to ford the river because
yeah.
the flooding won't be quite so bad further
yes.
on.
Exactly.
How long will you be away? Like, at what point will you decide, like, this is too much and turn back?
We won't go more than
yeah.
a half hour's walk away.
Oh, okay. So you
yeah.
want to stay fairly close?
Short time, yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, Torvald, as you're leaving the camp, you see Svart, and he gives you a look, and he looks at Magnus, and then he looks at you again like... Like, good job. Nice call.
I give him, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
One
so,
of these.
Yeah, no. He sees you leading the other Varl away from the camp.
Oh, yeah, I give him a no.
Would you like to, should we roll to see if you notice that interaction?
I'll learn a roll to see if I notice that.
Okay, all right. Let's have you roll your knowledge.
Okay, D20?
We'll yeah, and I'll see how subtle Svart is being here.
19.
19, okay. Well, I'll invite you to take a look at the die I rolled.
Really?
Yeah, sorry.
May I also roll to see if I saw them conspiring last night, even though I didn't hear what they said.
I think you missed that. Okay. Because you were busy with your other conversation because he slipped
right.
away.
Okay.
And you don't notice Svirt being like odd or Torvald, but it does Torvald. You have the opportunity to like say something if you want here.
All right.
But yeah, Magnus, I think in this case you're you miss it. Something's distracting you. What,
okay.
Like, what is it? What's got your attention that you don't notice? The little like Torvald Svirt, like, yeah, buddy, thanks. I'm gonna get him.
I look at my fellow Varl. We like lock horns, like, and then as I'm walking out, I look at Sylvie, and kind of just like a eye reminder of our conversation.
Yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're responsible while I'm gone.
Yeah, but I don't say anything. Just kind of a stare.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I walk. Come, man and bear.
Yeah, so I had a chance to say something you said.
Yeah, like I think if you yeah. I mean, you have this, you get this suspicious look from Svirt.
Yeah, so I see that. I kind of intuit what he's thinking as that, but I don't want to completely divulge the conference. So yeah. I say, you know, Magnus, we should probably, you know, keep this quick. We don't want to, you know, have the entire caravan trudging miles and miles out of our way to find some bridge. Let's keep it quick and then get back to camp before anything happens.
Before what happened? What do you mean by anything
what?
Happening?
What? No, that was thunder. I said, before the snackins. That's how my people say snack time. They're probably going to have a snack time soon.
When you say snackins, Bjorn looks up like,
not right now.
Already?
When we get back to
he
camp.
He starts nudging you
see,
and like putting his snout under your cloak.
He's excited about snackins too. I'm saying there
you
might be.
You said it again and he like.
Yes.
He's looking for
oh,
that salmon
down,
that
see,
he's sure you have.
I'm just saying they might be breaking out snacks soon.
Yeah. I lean in closer to Torvald. I know it is raining here, but I can't help but notice the differences between the raindrops on your face and the sweat drops that come from your body. Are you telling me everything I need to know here, Torvald?
Yes, we humans sweat when we're soaked in rain. It's an odd quirk of our anatomy. Come now. Oh, look, there might be a bridge up there, right past this next bend.
Very well. Let's look around.
So the three of you head out of distance and out into the mist cast up by the rain. We see Svirt turn and go back to his tent, and he and like a half dozen of his friends, they gather. We see them gathering something up at the tent, and then heading with purpose towards where Idric is resting. During this time, while these guys are looking for a way across, is there anything that Isgard or Idric, the three of you, what are you doing when they head off?
I was wondering if I were to notice it and try and intervene to ask, like, where are all of you going?
It's a pretty big caravan. Do you think you would devote that much energy to paying attention to Svirt, or do you think that situation is like dealt with?
With it being like what you said, like 15 something of his men gathering,
yeah.
I feel like I would notice it, especially after the little fight that happened the night before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you want to try to confront him, you could.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, you see Svirt and a half dozen of his friends, and they're headed somewhere with intent. And they have unlit torches with them, like in bundles that they're carrying. And they seem like, I don't know, do you just like come around a corner and you're like, "Hey guys, where are you going?" Or are you like headed towards them with purpose?
I'm headed towards them with purpose because
okay.
I feel like it's my responsibility to keep track of everyone that is in the caravan.
Sure. Okay. All right. So they stop when they see you, and like there's some eye rolling and some sighing, and Svirt says, "What is it, girl?"
Well, we're not meant to be traveling too far from the caravan, as we don't really know what is out or what has happened in the rain. Where is it that you plan on going with these men?
And he says, We're just going to take a look around, make sure everyone was getting through the storm all right.
So I suppose you wouldn't mind if I went with you on this stroll.
And he, like, sneers, and a couple of his friends are like, "God damn it, like, she got us." And then I think one of them says, "We should bring her along, Svirt." And he kind of, you can see him thinking, and he's like, "All right." And he says, "We were just going to pay a visit to Adric. I felt bad about what I said yesterday. Sometimes when I've mead in me, I lose my temper.
Okay, then I will go with you. Let's go talk to Adric.
Okay, all right. So they head over to... So, Adric, do you have your own tent?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It's pretty large.
Yeah, it'd have to be, right?
It's large enough for me to fit inside. And I'm inside, but I'm not sleeping. I just said farewell to my friend who had went off to find some form of shelter or a path to forge through the weather. And what I'm doing is I'm sharpening my broadsword.
Excellent. Good. Okay.
My greatsword.
Yeah. I mean, it's broad and great.
Yeah.
Great and broad.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get to the tent. You get to Ederson. You can hear the sound, the scraping of his sword. And it's an interesting thing because you know yourself that Edric hasn't had any use for that sword in a long time, right? There's been no battle that's called for it,
mm-hmm.
but still, he keeps it sharp. And when you get there, Svert opens the flap of the tent and gestures, like, after you.
Okay. And then you go in first to greet Adric.
Okay.
And try and, like, set up the apology for mm-hmm. him.
Okay.
And
so when you go in, the camera lingers outside. So we see you go in, and we see the other men take torches from their cloaks and light them from a brazier outside, and wait. They wait outside with these torches flickering in the rain.
Okay.
But Svert goes in with you.
Adric, is there a reason that you're sharpening your sword right now?
A warrior particular? Keeps his blade sharp at all times.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Just
well,
in case.
Yeah. I just wanted to come in to say that, you know, the men from last night that you had that altercation with, they have come, and they say that they want to apologize, but I have a feeling that they have less than honest intentions.
You're just saying this in front of Svert?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I knew that this was coming. Let's go, boys. A fight
well,
it is.
I didn't come here to try and set up a fight.
You don't need to say anymore. Svert didn't seem like the apologizing type.
Right.
No, but maybe, you know, now that we're together, we can talk, and you can put the sword away.
No
maybe.
Worries, little lady. Step aside. I'll take care of this.
Okay.
So, here's the thing. Svert doesn't have a weapon. Like, he didn't come here with a sword or anything. And
right.
he says to you, as you're, like, are you getting up and, like, picking your sword
yeah,
up?
Yeah, okay. I'm starting to get ready for stuff.
Svert takes a step back. And he says to you quietly, he says, you think that these Varl are like us, but they're not. They're beasts. You'll see. And he whistles, and his friends come into your tent, and you can see that they all have in their hands burning, like, torches. And they're like, waving them when they come in, and they crackle, and they spit. And the Varl, no one knows why, but this is a thing that is true of every Varl, have a terrible fear of fire. You can be around campfires at a distance, but when you're threatened with it, you feel like there's a fear that grips your heart. And it's up to you how you respond to it, but they come in and they basically start, like, goading him like an animal. Like, they try to drive you. They come towards you with the torches. And by Svart's logic, this is like, look, this is a beast fears fire. Like, look at this creature. But what do? When they come forward with the sword, you can feel, like, fear building in your heart.
I think I feel fear, but as a warrior, I believe that what I do is my first instinct is to cut down the tent and bring it down so that everyone kind of gets caught in a confusing, kind of, like, disorienting tent falling situation.
It is raining on the tent, so it would be like a white blanket on the flames.
It very well might, yeah. I mean, the canvas is waxed so it doesn't, seep through. But still, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you...
Want the fire gone.
When they come in with the torches, and they like, approach you with them burning, you have your sword in your hand, you're getting up. What does it look like? You just take, like, a big swing?
A swing above, I believe, that would just split the tent open.
Okay, all right,
yeah.
Sure. Let's have you make a roll. Make
Great.
A make a strength roll. Let's see if you can.
All right, that's a plus four.
18.
An 18.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So no problem. So you have a bonus to your strength, right?
Yeah,
well?
I do. Add this to your health, attacks, and damage rolls in melee.
So is it it's a plus three, I think, for you, your strength?
It does say plus four on strength.
Oh, it's plus four.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So you got a 22.
Right.
So
that's what I said.
Yeah, no problem. So there's a crunch. I mean, to hold this tent up, the central pole has to be, like, quite wide. but a single swing, and it kind of feels good to be like swinging the sword around again. And, like, you feel the like the response to fear, and you tamp it down with violence.
Yeah.
And I think that there's shouts of surprise as the tent is like falling down on everyone. What are you gonna do?
I think now with that happening and all the fire's gone out, a little bit of the tension has been cut with like the kind of comedic tent falling over everybody.
I promise you, Svirt does not find it funny.
Okay.
Like your initial reaction to this Varl like stepping forward and swinging his sword. You don't like get scared. You don't bring your shield up. Like I'm curious to see what you do in that moment before the tent comes down.
I'm not scared of Adric because I trust him more than these other men.
Okay.
So I'm impressed by him.
Right. So you know what he's doing, and you're kind of like you see him not cowed by the fear. Yeah. Right. Because that's the other way it could go. Right. Because this could have gone very badly if Adric had like attacked one of them.
Yes.
Because then it would be murder and it'd be a whole thing. Okay. Yeah. So the tent comes down around you, and your prayers are answered, and that it doesn't light the tent on fire or anything. The fires go out. Svirt and his men are shouting at each other, trying to like, wow, what's happening? It's gone dark. And then you can, if you want to do something.
Yeah, I would like to offer, because now your tent is destroyed, and it is because of these men who came in to try and attempt to make you fearful or even try and attack you. I would like to offer my tent to you, and I'll find elsewhere to sleep.
Sure.
It might be a little small for you, but...
I appreciate that, but right now my concern is less about where I'll be sleeping later and more about why these men came.
And the two of you have slipped out the back of the collapsed tent, and Svirt and his men are trying to like get their bearings inside, but they're all hungover and confused.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to intimidate them at this point and say, if you're looking for a battle, then why don't you come out from under those sheets, you cowards?
Okay. I don't imagine your intent is to actually goad them into fighting you.
Sure.
or maybe it is.
I mean, I'm looking for a fight. Right, I really am.
Maybe you don't care either way.
I mean, they came to kill me as far as I'm concerned. You know, this wasn't an apology. This was an attack.
Yeah,
he
it sure was.
He brought 15 men. This wasn't going to be a pleasant thing.
This is one of these stories where there's going to be more men every time you tell it. It started as a half dozen.
Exactly.
It's 15 now.
I mean, Magnus
will get back and you'll be like, I fought off the whole camp.
Right, by myself, right.
Yeah,
I mean, I might be a little dumb, but as a warrior, I've seen my fair share of battles and men, the trickery men pull.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I'm not taking any chances. Okay. This is... At this point, I know they were here to kill me, so maybe what I'd like to declare is you can escape now and leave our company with your lives, or you will face my sword.
Okay, so you wait for them to come out and then address them?
Yes.
Okay, so we're standing in the rain, it's all very dramatic, and you say that, you deliver your ultimatum.
Yeah.
And Svirt... He looks at you and he says, "What would your family think, letting a creature like this walk all over us? Kettleguard's a human village. Look around you. Do you see any other of his kind? There's a reason for that."
And I would say that my family fought with the Varl, and they were fighting alongside each other, and they trusted each other, and I trust them now. Because their numbers are so small, they're forced to trust us who have such greater numbers. They're not trying to pick a fight until you instigated it. But I think that we can all walk away from this without anybody getting hurt.
I'd like to cut his head off.
Okay, you just like
helping.
To escalate? Yeah. All
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I want to cut his head off.
Okay, sure. I won't make you go into a fight with him. We'll give you a chance to just like kind of one-shot him. I'll roll to see if he can dodge out of the way, and I'll give you a number, and then if you can beat that on a strength roll,
okay.
Then you can do the thing.
Great.
So let's see how we do. Oh, I got a one, so whatever you get is probably better.
Unless it's a one.
Looks like a six.
Yeah, six.
So that's a 10 with a plus
yeah,
four.
Yeah, so even if you had gotten a two, it would have been better. So he's turned looking at you, and he's like, this is ridiculous. Look at it, and he turns to you, and what is it? So you're just like...
Just boom. One swipe, head gone.
Okay, all right. So Svirt's head sails from his shoulders and lands in the mud. And he still has this indignant, like, racist look on his face. Like, how dare you? But now he's looking up at you from a puddle of mud, and his body... squirts a few times and then tumbles over. There is a second, and then all hell breaks loose as these guys, like, go for their swords and like, basically rush you. Do you want to do anything? Do you get involved?
I'm honestly speechless.
Okay. So,
he instigated this fight, and, you know, I tried to make it peaceful. And as much as I respected the Varl, maybe the choice to cut his head off was not the best.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to... I don't want to get involved.
Okay. That's...
Has what's going on drawn attention from the rest of the caravan?
Not yet, but it's about to.
Okay.
It certainly will.
There were people like caught under a tent, and there was, I imagine, some shouting happening when the, you know, as they were trying to get out and stuff. Are we too far away to like hear this?
Yeah.
I have awareness. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys.
I'd like to say something maybe to ease the minds of everyone else. Maybe before the battle.
You did literally just cut a man's head off.
It's true, but as an intimidating mountain of a monster, I do have a moment to kind of just maybe clear the air.
I think. I don't want to surprise anybody here, but I've just killed this man. Let's be rational a second. How are we all feeling? So what I think the only opportunity I think you have here is to continue down this bloody path and either like let them come and fight them or convince them that they don't want to end up like their friend Svert in the ground.
That's
so you can try
to
intimidate them.
My intimidation tactic is that, you know, I mean, and this is what I'll just declare after cutting off.
Yeah, so you hack his head off, and they all, some of them run, some of them go for weapons.
Right. So what I'd like to say is, unless you'd like all of your heads on the ground as well, we must work together to fight through this terrible weather. That's a rhyme.
It is.
Everyone get that?
Yeah.
That man on the ground wanted us to stay in the camp that, as you can see down below, is flooded. And his judgment would have caused us all to be in peril. Is that the type of person you want shouting orders, regardless of what his past has been? You have a choice. Either you follow his example, or you listen to me. There will be no more of this bloodshed, as long as we keep our mouths shut about Varls and humans and their differences, and listen to our captain.
Okay, so you want to try... Do you say anything to, like, help, or are you still kind of just like, he just cut that guy's head off?
Honestly, I was impressed by that speech, so I'll let him,
okay,
let him take it away.
So, Sylvie is silent, letting your words bellow out into the rainy air. Let's see if it works. Roll an influence roll. I think you're pretty, like, 50-50 on this.
I'm a plus two on influence.
Okay, yeah. So if you can get a 10 or better, I think you will get what you want. They won't attack you.
That's a 15.
Nice.
Okay.
Plus two.
So that's a 17.
17.
All right. They flee. They flee into the hills. They run from you. They don't want to rejoin the caravan. Some of them run screaming. Others simply run, and they're gone. Svert's friends have disappeared, and so you are left. I think you hear the bellowing from down below. And you two, even then, like you're big, Adric, and like raising your voice, it echoes.
Yeah.
But Isgard, you're the closest. So if you would like to come into this scene, you're welcome to. But like as it stands, Sylvie and Adric and Svert's headless corpse.
I do want to say to Adric. Well, I don't think it was the best decision to go and slice his head off.
Svert agrees.
I do believe it was probably a hot-headed decision.
Ah.
You were you were acting out of instinct to attack the person that came to attack you. While my trust has been compromised in this action, I do understand where it came from, and I want to let you know that there's still opportunities to gain it back, and that I trust the Varl, and I want you to be a part of the camp with humanity.
Now, what would you have done had they come to your tent with torches with intent to fight?
You know, I can't answer that question unless it had happened, so I do understand.
Clearly that was a man who would not have his decisions changed. And unfortunately, that had to be taken care of.
And I do agree that now things will probably move more smoothly, but I want you to know that I do still trust you in part, and that I do still trust the Varl with humanity here.
I like that. And if you'd like, you can loot his body for coins or anything you'd like.
You know what? I'm good, but I appreciate it.
Well, so, I mean, that's the question. Like, because Svirt had, like, friends and stuff and, like, your family and...
I don't think that it's over.
For him, it is.
For him.
For Svirt, it's very much over. But, yeah.
And I will say, something must have happened to escalate his anger. No drunk would have just come in the middle of the night and decided, even in his drunkenness, to come and fight a Varl.
I agree. Something had to have instigated this.
I would like to saunter into the scene at this point. Well done. You may not have expected that reaction, but I think that your prowess in battle will prove incredibly useful if it is harnessed in the right direction. And tonight I believe it was, for what it's worth.
I choose to say nothing.
Yeah, we all stand there as the rain comes down.
Where are we now?
I assume the two of you started heading back when you heard.
Yeah, so we heard the bellowing. You said that we could definitely hear once the head.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we have to go back. We have to go back right now. Come on, quickly, sprint now.
What is happening?
I might have accidentally let it slip that Yuvarl mentioned possibly killing Svirt. Quickly, quickly.
I grab Torvald by the collar.
Come here, you.
And hold him up. You did what?
I was trying to tell him not to attack you, to tell him to lay off you. I'm not very good with people. I kind of had possibly the opposite effect. But we need to get back. Quickly.
Damn humans. And then I just run back, but I still have him by the collar.
Yeah, get him under your arm.
Yeah.
No, yes! I'm running with it, but like he's like this. Yeah. Like,
yes, quickly, use your big Varl legs. If we get back in time, maybe
silence, human! You've said enough.
Oh.
And so we run back.
Yeah, and Bjorn runs after you.
Yeah, Bjorn runs
roaring,
back.
ready, because he thinks you're charging into battle. And so, and so you return. What is done with Svirt's body? Like his inner cadre has been dispersed. They have left out into the moors. But there are others who still, like, knew him. Like, he's still a person. He was a member of the community, even though he was, like, a real douche. What are you going to do with, like, his head's over there and his body's over there? And
I would like to gather the remaining pieces of his body.
Okay.
And I know that I had probably more knowledge of him and his background than most of us. So would I know the people in the caravan that he was closest with that might care?
Aside from the guys that Adric just scared away? Yeah. Like, he's got maybe one or two people that didn't come here to wave the torch around that you could kind of, like, deliver him to. Like, you also, I think, are probably qualified to, like, give him a funeral if that's something you wanted to stop and do.
Right. So not, I don't want to do that here in front of everyone, but I would like
to... Yeah, the caravan has started to gather. Like, people are kind of like... Some came, you know, with knives in hand, like, uh-oh, something's happening. Others just heard shouting. There was a mix of, like, fear. Like, who did this? What happened? Some people kind of can figure it out. But, yeah, you've got everybody kind of gathered around. And through that crowd, these two come barreling. So you have to kind of, like, push your way through the crowd to get up to where... this scene is, and you see Edric and the rain washing blood from his sword.
So I drop Torvald on the ground. What has happened here?
Well, as you can see, Svirt is no more, my friend.
Oh, that's Svirt's head.
Yeah, Svirt's head looks up at you like a fish out of water from the puddle of mud in which it lay.
They came to me as I was sharpening my great sword and attempted to attack me.
With some persuasion, I assume.
Yeah, Adric, listen, cards on the table here. I kind of let it slip that you were talking about killing Svirt. Now, I did this with the intention that would motivate him to leave you alone. I mean, I know personally if a giant were talking about killing me, I'd be like, hey, maybe I shouldn't mess with that giant. So I kind of had the opposite effect. Really sorry about that.
So what we have is someone relaying what we said to someone who is an antagonist.
With the intention of having him maybe not hassle you so much.
Let me sharpen my sword.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Adric, you're reminded of an ancient Varl proverb about what happens to snitches.
Well, yes. Snitches get great swords.
There's no alliteration or rhyming.
Yeah, it rhymes much better in Varlish.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I pick up Svert's head.
Mm-hmm. I believe Isgard is in possession.
I've got the head and the body in question.
Never mind.
Oh, the witch is holding a head. That's
yeah.
Cool.
The body is too heavy for you to carry around. Yeah, you're just holding. It's like rainwater, and you're just like hanging onto his head.
Okay.
And standing over the body.
It's not the first time you've held someone's severed head before. I'm. It's fine.
Is this Torvald to be trusted now that he's gone to people to tell us of what we've been conspiring?
I like to think that he would be some kind of conspirator, but I think, in actuality, he's just dense.
Yes, I get that a lot, actually.
But I say, Torvald, look at that head that the witch is holding.
Right.
Speak out of turn again, and next time, that could be your head on her shoulders with no body.
Understood. Yes.
Might I point out that you two were the first to conspire?
I point out that you were supposed to be the leader of this, and now a man is dead under your watch.
Well, the man is dead because this man sliced his head off in act of aggression.
None of this would have happened in the first place had we dealt with him accordingly last night.
All of this arguing amongst ourselves helps nothing. This man, who previously fought against the Dredge, who previously was all of our allies, is now dead. Because we could not agree? We have a destination to get to. All of this bickering between all of us matters not at all. Let's have no more needless bloodshed.
Fine. Then I shall make do with cutting Torvald's tongue out. That way he cannot snitch on us again.
Perhaps you do not understand the meaning of no more.
Well, surely there must be some punishment for causing this. I was almost murdered this morning. Not that humans could have killed me, but just saying.
I think the man that needed to be punished had his punishment. And Torvald didn't intend for you to receive harm out of his words.
That's true. I thought I was going to make the journey easier for you.
So, Torvald, do you at least accept that this man's death is on you?
Yes, that's my bad.
It's a heavy burden to bear.
Yes, it's very heavy. But, I mean, as you mentioned, he wasn't that great a fighter. I mean, he was injured on his first outing against the Dredge. How useful would he really have been?
Please don't speak any more ill of the dead.
Yes, I'm going to do what the creepy lady holding a head says and shut up now.
Can we trust Torvald continuing on?
I'm sure under our guidance and his fear, he will know not to step out of line again.
Then I think we know to keep a close eye on the snitch.
So there's this moment of like really clear and obvious tension where even though Svert and his goons have been dispatched, like the whole caravan has sort of watched you have this conversation, and they will spend the rest of the night kind of whispering amongst themselves about what they saw. Some will remember the brutish Varl cleaving the head from their townsman. Others will remember the maniacs that attack their loyal Varl companion. But there's still going to be this sense of disunity in the caravan, which, as you said, is distressing. But at least you're able to I was going to say cut it off at the head, but let's move on past this pun territory. And so I think that we fade out on that scene. And everybody is able to kind of return to their own thoughts and to their tents. What is to be done with Svert's body? Do you just like bury it and leave a marker, or?
So I would like to notify the closest thing he has to his next of kin.
Sure, he never had any kids, so someone any who knew him,
siblings, aunts, uncles, like, anything he's
you,
got.
You
cousins,
knew this guy. Here you go.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Let them know. Ask them if they would like me to perform any kind of ritual over his body, but leave it their decision.
Yeah. They mostly, like, make warding signs against evil to, like, cast you out, and, like, they're scared of you, and they're like, no,
okay.
You're probably just going to, like, make him your undead servant, so don't touch my friend's corpse anymore.
Okay, that was the reaction I expected.
Yeah.
So I will just hand him over.
I think everybody who knew Svart then, they talk amongst themselves, and they decide to pack up his body on one of the wagons and go back to the village. But they're going to need, like, food and supplies to do that. So I guess they take them, unless somebody says otherwise.
They may take them.
Okay. All right. So there's some grumbling. Like, you know, they're we're still, even dead, this man is costing us. And they take some of the supplies, and they pack up his body, and they return back to the village. Or so you assume. They go back the way you came. So do you wait out the storm here? You didn't really get far enough to look for a way across, and everybody's feeling like a little tense and fatigued. So maybe proceeding on would be the correct choice, but also maybe holding back would be better to give everybody a chance to rest. What do you think?
I think that it would be best to keep moving forward, because as it is, staying where we are isn't going to get us anywhere, and it's just getting more and more dense with the rain, and everything's damp, and if anything, we might be able to find something drier, either a cave somewhere that wasn't touched by the storm.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot of, like, mountains around here to find caves in, right? You're in a kind of, like, rolling grassland.
Okay.
Yeah, shelter-wise, there isn't much going for you. Like, you just have your tents, which are getting more sodden by the hour. But you could wait it out.
Something in this place does not feel right to me. The morale of our caravan is not in a good place.
Well, we've had quite an exciting day. Perhaps what we need is rest.
Did anyone else notice the ominous thunder when the witch was talking? Was that just me?
It does seem to like her, yeah.
I would suggest that we move on and rest in a place that maybe can offer us more luck.
What say you, Magnus?
I say we press forward. The stench of this Varl haters spreading amongst this area. I want to be away from it.
Okay. So how do you intend to cross the stream then? Do you want to just try to ford it? Like, I mean, the two of you looking at it, like, it'll be rough going for the humans, because for them, you know, it'll come up here for most of them. For you guys, it'll just be like waist high. But
is there any way that we could go across and find something to put down for them to get the rest of them over?
There isn't really anything to, like, lay down, but you could help by, like, carrying things. You know, it would be, like, a full day worth of, like, unloading the carts, putting people in the carts you can't cross, the two of you carrying those carts across, making sure the yaks can clear.
Well, considering that some may be concerned by our presence after this recent actions, maybe we should do some kind of good service to boost their morale towards us again. Mm.
Well, it matters not the emotions of these humans, but I see what you're saying, and it could help the journey ahead. So I agree. Let's help.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have anything that they want to do to contribute or to assist? Any thoughts that you have that will make this easier? You're going to ford the stream, ford the river. If there's anything that you think that you can do to help, cool. Otherwise, the Varl will prove their worth by just, like, brute forcing everyone across. It'll take all day and well into the night. But
can the bear get through?
Bear can swim across, yeah.
Mm. Well, then I believe that Torvald, since he has so much to say, should be able to ride his bear and help us carry some things over as well.
Agreed.
I'll speak with Bjorn and see if he's willing to carry some folks over.
I don't remember saying that it was a request.
Right! Then that's why I said I'm on it! Magnus.
Very well.
Good. Okay.
So I kind of like talk to Bjorn. It's like, listen, buddy, we're in a little bit of a bind here. I know you don't, I know you don't normally like being ridden, but as you can see, it's kind of an emergency. You mind helping some of these smaller folks get over?
I mean, Bjorn does, as you say.
Yeah.
He looks as like bemused as a bear can, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of gives you a look. But, yeah, I mean, he wants to help.
Nice.
He's a friendly bear.
Cool.
Okay, all right. So I think this is just like a strength task for the two of you. So
Bjorn.
One of you, yes, and Bjorn. One of you can roll, and we'll give you advantage. So you'll roll your dice twice and pick whichever is the better one, because the two of you are working together.
Okay.
So,
do we add strength?
Yeah. So both of you roll, and whatever is the better roll of the two.
That's a 16, it looks like, right?
It is, yeah. 16 plus your strength bonus.
20, so that's a 20.
Okay, so you've got a 20, and then you get to... Yeah, you can roll again. You're not going to probably do better than 20, but go ahead.
I got a 15.
Okay.
That's a 7.
Seven.
Okay.
So that's 11.
So 20 is the better of all the rolls that you got? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot, right? It's there's a lot of people and a lot of, like, movement, and it's a rushing river, but you don't have any serious calamity. You know, none of the wagons tip over. Nobody goes missing. Nobody drowns. You don't lose, like, a bunch of your food. It just takes a long time. And by the time everyone gets to the other side, you know, it is autumn. It's fall. Everybody's cold. But you're on the other side of the river now. And I think that night when you settle in, it seems like the storm has started to give way. It started to slowly, like, fade. And the rain, the thunder and the lightning is not as torrential as it was before. And the wind isn't blowing as hard. And everybody's just kind of, like, shivering around the fires that night. But you all made it safely across. And I think that the caravan, they look at the two of you with renewed respect for your help. Because, you know, they wouldn't have been able to get across. They would have had to have waited on the other side. So you cross the river and make your way across that obstacle. You should still have enough food to get you to Grinholm. As long as nothing interesting happens between here and there. But for the caravan, I have another decision they need to make. So while the players have gotten everyone across the river and is setting up a camp on the other side, some members of the caravan, you discover a group of young men who say that they're hunters. They're without food, and one of them seems to be injured. He says that it was in a scuffle with a boar. They're hunters. But they went to the old wood, and they didn't have much luck, and now they are lost, and you come upon them. So they're armed, but they seem peaceful. And so, caravan, they ask you if they can travel with you, because the way to Grinholm is also the way to their village. And they say, oh, our village is on the way. You're going to Grinholm, so can we join you? And so you have to choose what to do with these fellows. So you can offer them your food and water and invite them to join the caravan. These are days of celebration and for family, after all. And, you know, you're all fellows in a way. So invite them to join the caravan. You can give them a little food and water, but bid them be on their way. You can't abide leaving anyone to starve, but it pays to be cautious, especially lately. Or you can invite them in, but when they're resting tonight, rob them of their weapons and then abandon them by the road. Because better an extra sword in your belt than one that might end up in your back. Mm. So, caravan, you can decide what you want to do with these strangers as we continue.
Tough.
If anybody has a case they want to make, please go ahead. But
well, if they we do say they are warriors, correct?
They're hunters.
They're hunters.
They say they are.
Perhaps, I don't care for adding more humans to our company, but perhaps since we are less a few humans, maybe it would be useful to have some more men on our side with weapons in case we run into any unlikeliness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is certainly a case. Anybody have a case for leaving them behind or, I don't know, robbing them in the night?
I'm just going to get closer to Elfin Dredgehammer and make sure that the sword is untouched.
Okay. All right.
I might be slightly concerned for their safety if they join the party. Not the most stable party. But, you know, one of them's injured. I mean, it doesn't seem like they have much of a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stay out here in the wild. There's flooding. They might get attacked by another boar.
All right, so
they don't seem to be very good hunters. One of them was hurt by their prey.
Yeah, or it could be a lie. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how they go. So the caravan, you can make your decision about these fellows in the background. So the rain having passed, you find yourselves you awaken cold and uncomfortable, but it seems like the worst of it is over. The journey here continues northwest to the old woods, though through the mist and the rain you can't see it yet. It'll be some days before you make your way to the edge of the woods. Is there anything that you want to do before you set back out?
I would like to talk to Sylvie.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So I sit down beside her and I go, so, a man's head cut off, morale low. A day lost carrying people over the water. Good first day for a leader, huh?
I'm trying my best to have peace between us all. but we have to all agree that we'll be peaceful with each other.
Trying cannot be used as an excuse when one is dead.
I take responsibility for his death.
Very well. Just remember this. You've heard the story about it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. That's bullshit. It is always about the destination in a situation like this. No one wants to remember this journey. All that matters is that we get where we need to be, alive.
And I will make sure that that happens.
Be sure that you do. I can keep my composure when it comes to these humans, but as you can see, not the same for Edric. And if need be, I will always stand by my Varl side.
I understand.
And I walk away.
Yeah. I like that you've got this good Varl, bad Varl thing going on. That's nice. I can't control him when he's like this. You don't talk to him like that. He's crazy. It's good. I like that. That's nice. Okay. So you have this sort of semi-unsettling conversation with, I don't want to say he's your mentor, but he's certainly acting like it.
I respect his advice and his wisdom.
Okay. All right.
He's definitely an elder. I mean, he's much older.
Yeah, like hundreds of years older.
Yeah, so totally. I take it into account what he's saying.
Okay.
And it does weigh on me that, you know, what if I had made different choices? Maybe no one would have died.
Yeah, yeah. Sverre would still be alive and being a jerk. Okay, cool. So you want to press on to the woods? Are you still leading the caravan, or you want to turn it over to her and let her lead the way?
Oh, by all means.
Okay.
Lead the way.
Okay.
All right. So it falls to you to sound the horn and get everybody moving. Do you say anything inspiring before you go, or are you just like, okay, ooh, time to go, everybody?
What I will say is that I know it has been a long journey already so far, and we've barely even made a dent in the distance that we have to travel. But if we're going to make it to this destination, we need to all work together and trust each other and be peaceful with one another so that nobody else ends up hurt. And then we can all make it there together in one piece.
Yeah, okay. A message of peace and calm. Stay calm, everybody. We've excised the bad men. And everything will be fine from here. Okay.
But might I remind that I did suggest we keep an eye on the drunk, which led to his untimely death. So maybe we should also keep our eyes very closely on our new, the people that have just joined our company.
Yes, we wouldn't want them to get ahead of themselves.
That's good.
Because they head to a roll if they do.
Good thing.
It's funny, but it's so ominous.
Right, exactly. It's a great joke if you're not the guy who literally cut someone's head off yesterday.
A cut above the rest.
So the Varl...
You killed a human!
Now, a racist human!
Oh, yes!
Now you're really just stating what happened.
And we do it again if we have to.
Absolutely. I don't tolerate racism.
No, at all.
No. So,
and I just look at Thorvald the whole time.
Yes.
So your heartfelt speech of peace is completely undermined by these giants being like, yes, but also we will grind up your bones and make bread out of you. That will also happen.
Whoa, 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 whoa. No, we don't do that. That's just offensive.
No, absolutely.
We don't eat. We just kill.
Well, human bones don't make good bread. We know that.
Not at all.
So there is like a sense of like, watch your neighbor. Like the caravan is... It's tense. Like this is an important journey to go on, and it is, you know, being away from home and being on the road. Everyone is tense, and there's already been a murder, and I mean, well, justified or otherwise, and everybody is like feeling like kind of tense. But you're able to kind of get them started, and we'll see how their morale plays out. Let's have you make a roll. You don't have survival, do you? You do not.
No.
Your skills are
there. No.
You could intimidate the road, but okay. Go ahead and roll a knowledge roll. That guy. And
I have plus one knowledge.
Yes, that's right. Add a plus one. Oh, nice.
17 plus one.
Excellent. 18. Okay, so you do at least as well as the last person in charge did. So okay. you lead, and that's saying something. That's good. So you lead everybody heading to the north, heading to the west, and as you climb up out of the sort of river valley towards the old wood, I think that you come over a ridge, and you can see down, and this is one of those kind of cinematic moments where the camera lifts up behind you and we get this long, like, wide establishing shot. And the old wood is this, like, deep kind of, like, purple color this year, this time of year, because the leaves are turning, and it has an almost, like, fairy tale kind of quality to it. If you squint, you can kind of make out a faint glow to the woods. There are, like, sort of little lights hanging over it. Isgard, you know that the old wood is both dangerous and sacred in the way that ancient forests like this can be. Hmm. That if you treat it well, it will allow you passage through, but it might also try and misguide and trick you. There are dangers here that you'll need to keep an eye on everybody. But you do have Torvald with you, who's an established woodsman as well. So there's danger ahead, but also wonder. And I think that people in the caravan have sort of stopped at this hillock, and they look down through the mist. It's very, very striking. And there's a lot of, like, people whispering soft prayers, or there's excitement and trepidation in the caravan as everyone kind of crests the hill. But you also notice that there is smoke rising from another smaller caravan that is down, like, about a day or so away at the very beginning of the woods, the very edge of the woods. You can see that they've stopped for the day. And you can make out at this distance some carts and some yaks grazing, and fire.
And they're on the edge of the wood closest to where we are?
Yeah, they're like right in your path.
So they don't take us away from them.
No, if you go straight the way you're going, they're right next to the place in the woods that's clear enough for you to go in.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It might be worth making some friends for the night, with the dangers that could come in the woods.
Unless the friends are the danger.
Yes, to have smoke coming from the middle of the woods does feel quite like a trap.
Well, I have my sword ready, just in case.
Do you think that if anything went wrong, you'd be able to handle the situation with your sword?
Well, it depends. I mean, is it living?
Is what living?
The danger.
And if the people are the danger...
Then yes.
Okay.
Adric can handle many things.
Well, should it come to that, then I will rely on you and your sword. But do we think it's worth our efforts to go and make friendly with this other camp?
They may have ways that can help each other. They may have supplies. They may have food.
Also, we don't know... We don't know if they've seen anything on the way that, you know, we might need to know. They might have information.
Now, not that I care much of the trinket that we have on hand, could it be possible that we would be endangering it by bringing it into this unknown camp?
They would have no way of knowing that we have it or where it would be. And as long as we have someone keeping a close eye on it, which I would take the responsibility for, I think it would be okay.
I do not let it out of my sight.
Okay, two eyes on it. Four.
Mm.
It might be worth that it's greater in numbers in these forests.
Yeah, and when you mentioned the sword, the camera has kind of swung around now, so we're looking at you at the top of the crest. We see the villagers coming rising up behind you to kind of like make up this crowd, and we see the Yox pulls the cart where you know the sword to be, and then from it is the banner of your village, right? Traveling the land, you would wave the banner of your people. To let them know, like, where you came from and who you are. It's sort of the story of your journey. So I guess that's a good time to ask you, like, what does the banner of Kettleguard look like? Like, what color is it? Does it have, like, something embroidered on it? I'll let you kind of decide that for me. What do you think? When we see it flapping in the wind dramatically. We don't have to come to consensus. Anybody that has ideas,
it's probably a gold banner.
Yeah, it's like gold.
Yes, it flies the length of two of the carriages.
Okay,
you know, our history emblazoned in blue thread.
Cool.
Along the banner.
It has olive branches on it.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So it shows the gold shows a bit of we are wealthy, and also the olive branch is a sign of peace.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So we get this nice shot that would look really good in a trailer of, like, the group of you, Elaid, with the banner flapping behind you. And I think it's at that point when... I think, Torvald, you're probably the keenest of eye.
Yes, I do have awareness.
Yeah,
yes.
Do you want to roll awareness for me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So you're gonna roll. Roll. Add your knowledge and your bonus for awareness.
Okay, my knowledge is plus one.
Okay.
9 plus 1 is 10, and my bonus for awareness is 1.
I think you shortchanged yourself by 8. I think that's a d12.
Oh.
Which is like, whoops. Cool. That's like hard mode. Sorry. But like, if you want to roll the big die, yeah. You're probably gonna get a higher number. Watch it get worse.
6.
Okay.
All right. So 6 plus 7. And then what do I get for awareness?
Just one.
Right now you get
just
a plus one.
Okay,
yeah.
8. So okay. 8.
Can I also roll awareness?
Yeah, totally. You notice Torvald like scanning the wagons.
Not much better.
You did exactly the same thing. You want that one?
Oh my god.
You'll do better. This time, I promise. I don't promise that. I can't promise anything for the dice.
Not much better. I have a plus 3, but it's still only 11.
Okay. All right. So the only thing that the two of you can kind of make out about this camp is that they have no banner being flown. There is no, you know, even at rest, even if there was no wind to flap it about majestically, there would be something. But you see no banner being flown by this village.
That's not a great sign.
Yes, that
not
is a bit sign. Odd.
It might be worth our time to go out of our way to avoid them.
Yes, I'm having a little trouble trusting any caravan without a banner.
But it could just be a band of thieves.
Yes.
There is something to say for us approaching them first.
What did your magical tricks reveal any information?
If you refer to them as magical tricks... then why would I be obliged to tell you?
Well, it just pertains to our safety, that's all.
After all, aren't you the one that said we should be working together and putting aside our differences for this caravan?
And secrets will do us no good in this scenario.
From what I can tell, they fly no banner, so we have no idea what their background is. We know they're small, and they've made it this far, so they must have some prowess. The only thing I can think is that if we approach them first, it may give us an upper hand over them approaching us when next we rest. But it may be hopeful to not approach them and hope they leave us alone. But would that be naive?
I'd say we approach with swords, just so that we show that we're not coming to just see what's up. We're here in defense.
We also have greater numbers than they do.
Of course.
I think the swords are not necessary. That may lead them
caution.
To think that we're fighting.
Perhaps, but if we don't, we may show that we are weak.
Maybe we compromise and have our swords at the ready, but not completely unsheathed.
So kind of half sheathed, or... I'm just trying to figure out where we're at here.
Hand on hilt.
Hand on hilt,
it's
got
the
it.
Whole, the whole do you bite your thumb situation all over again. Like, look, we have swords. I'm just, look at them, but we're not, I'm not...
yeah.
Intending to use it on you unless I have to, but I'm not going to. Okay.
Well, I believe if we are to survey this place to see if there's any danger, it always helps to send a decoy out to first suspect if there's any safety or if there's danger so that we don't get hurt in the process.
We could perhaps send someone with a bit of agility to spy on this camp and survey.
Right. Yes. Me? Yes. I'm trained in, you know, prowling through the woods, tracking animals, avoiding detection by larger, scarier animals. So yes, I can scout ahead, see what I can see, get a closer look.
Very good. You go do that and let us know what you see. This time your mouth can be useful to us.
Right. Yes, by me telling you things rather than telling them things. I see what you're doing there. I'll just be on my way. I'll just head there. I'll go now.
He's lucky he has a bear.
Yes.
Okay. So, do you go alone, Torvald?
Yes, I do. Bjorn, buddy, so you're great, but stealth isn't really your thing. Why don't you stay at camp? Keep an eye on the dredge hammer. Yes.
Yeah, we really need, like, a big stuffed bear to put
next. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to remember that for next time.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Bjorn looks at you a little hurt, like... like, must I? I thought, okay, but what if you get in trouble? But he does as he's told.
Mm-hmm.
And then you slink away into the mist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I'm trying to get as close as I can without being detected so I can see, you know, anything that might tip me off to them being hostile. Do they have blood on their swords? Or, you know, do they have sacks? Are they counting gold from a recent... Yeah.
Do they just look like really bad people in a way
just
that you
overhear
can tell
their conversation?
Yeah,
really.
If I could get close enough to do that, yes,
okay.
That too.
So what is your agility, and do you have any skills that would apply?
My agility is +3, okay. And I have stealth, yes.
Okay.
So +1.
All right, I'll roll for you, because you won't know how stealthy you're being. Okay. So you begin descending down. Now, you have the cloak of mist that hangs over this area to help you move quietly and unseen. And I think that you do get close enough to get a better look. Now, it looks like, based on the tracks, it looks like these people came not from like the same direction as you, but they've hooked around the bottom of the woods and come to this side for some reason. So you're coming at it this way, and they're like they've come around this direction.
So they've come from kind of the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've skirted the woods.
They've skirted around the outside of the woods and stopped here. Mm. They seem much more. There are far fewer of them than there are of you, but they're all like fighter types. You can see that they all have weapons and shields. Mm. They don't look like a war party. They still have like supplies and yaks and caravan and stuff. Mm. But yeah, they look like they're ready to fight.
All humans, no Varl?
So there is a Varl among them. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, you see in a barrel, you see the spiral edge of a banner that's been like rolled up and shoved into a barrel next to a pole that's laying. So they have their banner with them. They're just not flying it. Mm-hmm. It's a black fabric.
Black fabric.
Yeah.
Can I hear anything they're saying? Can I roll to hear what they're saying? Or
yeah, you can make an awareness roll.
Okay.
Sure.
That one is an 18.
Nice.
Yeah. +2, so 20.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a great opportunity for you to see the Varl. So you come around one of the tents, and this isn't like full on, like you haven't like stealthed into the middle of their camp. You're staying around the edges. Mm-hmm. But there's a big tent at the edge, like the biggest tent here. And emerging from it, you see two figures. You see first an enormous Varl. Like big even for a Varl. One of his horns is broken off. He has an enormous black scraggly beard. Despite the cold, he's only wearing like a wolf pelt around his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And he has an enormous club. It's a big like spiked club, and it's across his back. And he comes out first, and he's speaking to another man deferentially. Like he's obviously this other guy's in charge. The guy that emerges has long black hair, sort of parted in the middle, and just hangs limp on either side of his face. He has this enormous black mustache that covers his mouth. His mustache has beads like woven into him, and he's wearing several like big gold rings. He has a shirt of chainmail. And then he has a big gold torque, which is like a thick, like Viking kind of neck thing. Mm-hmm. He's not armed, and
Is this one also Varl?
No, this is a human.
Okay,
the little guy, yeah. You recognize him. Mm-hmm. This guy, his name is Tyr, and he is the self-styled warlord of a village called Thornheim. And Thornheim and Kettlegard, you have a rivalry. Mm-hmm. They have been a bother as long as Kettlegard has been around. There's like some deep-seated ancient family feud between like the people who founded both. They're like Springfield and Shelbyville, and they must have come from Thornheim. Mm-hmm. You don't recognize this big goon. But as they're coming out, the Varl's like, "How much longer do we have to wait?" And Tyr rubs his hands together and he's like, "Soon. Soon. This is the only way through. They don't have the time to go all the way around the wood." And the Varl nods and he's like, yes. And Tyr says, "See, all you have to do is be patient, Berg. And in time, you'll be rewarded." And Berg just like rubs his hands together and he's like, tired of being patient. And he goes and he sits down on a pile of supplies, like one of the carts that kind of like tips. Mm-hmm. And he just sits on. He sulks. They don't see you. Tyr goes off to do some other business. And his friend Berg sits and kind of like tries to amuse himself, but is obviously like itching for a fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So this is very vital information.
Yeah, you learned a
yes,
lot.
Yes, I did good. Yes, my spying was very good. I should run back and tell the crew what I heard, the caravan I've discovered.
Sure.
Okay. So I sneak away, and once I'm clear, I break into a run and I get back to the camp, and I'm like, guys, it's Tyr of Thornheim. These guys are bad dudes, and they're waiting for someone. Probably us. I heard him talking to this big Varl named Berg. They're like, there's no other way to go around. We don't have time to go through the forest. We'll never make it in time. Which is true. If we went around the forest, we'd never make it to the wedding. So they could be waiting for us. And let me tell you something about Thornheim. My uncle told me about Thornheim, and these are not good guys. And from the few I've met of them, they're bad dudes. They waylay people on trails and stuff. We don't want to trust these guys. Is basically what I'm saying. You know, it's Thornheim.
Yeah, Thornheim is like just a slightly higher level than like brigands on the road.
Yeah,
like everybody knows. And are you having this conversation with them? Like,
yeah, I gathered the group
in secret.
Yeah, I just gathered the core group. Okay. I didn't want to tell everyone.
Yes. All right.
So someone is aware of our mission, is what you're saying?
That's what it sounds like. They said they're waiting for someone. Now, they didn't specifically say us, but they're definitely waiting for someone, and they've got their banner put away. It's Thornheim. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense, because if Kettleguard saw a Thornheim banner, you know, it would tip us off.
Thornheim's banner is it's a black banner with silver embroidery of, like, a big skull with vines, thorny vines growing up through. It's all very heavy metal.
Yeah, and most of what's written on there is like, we're assholes. We are big jerks, and we do jerky things.
So there's more of us than there are of them, and they plan to sneak attack us. Let's go in with swords.
Or should we avoid them and get ahead of them that way that they can never catch up to us?
How did they know we were even going to be here? Avoiding them just means they may find us again.
I don't think that the wedding is a big secret from anyone, but I do agree that they could just keep after us. And in smaller numbers, they might move quicker than us.
They hid their banner, and they put a smoke signal up in hopes of thinking that someone would come here, thinking that they are in danger. This is clearly a trap. They are clearly ready to battle. The only thing that we can do at this point is get the jump on them. I say we do draw our swords.
I am quite concerned about Berg. Yes. Berg is a Varl to be messed with. He's very large, very tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, if either of you want to make a like a knowledge roll, you might remember the name or recognize.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have no knowledge, but...
Yeah, I mean, you can make the roll anyhow.
11.
Okay. Edric, did you want to make a roll?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
16.
That's a 16.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Berg was a... an early participant in the Second War against the Dredge, but then disappeared partway through. Everybody thought that he was dead, but he apparently has resurfaced, and he's known for his bloody mindedness. He prefers to kill over talking, but he serves no cause other than his own bloodlust. Yeah, he's a driven man in battle.
There is a chance that we could talk to Berg without alerting the humans, especially since we have a past with Berg.
True, true.
But if he is serving his own selfish needs, then talking might not do a thing. I'd rather not fight a brother, though.
Yes, but there's one thing we know about Berg. He does seem to go where he needs to be when the price is right. So maybe we can convince him otherwise.
Indeed.
Would it be better that we surprise them rather than try and speak to one of them and let them know that we're even here?
With Berg on their side, there's no chance of surprising or even talking to them. We will be attacked if we're noticed.
Okay. So we want to use the advantage that they don't know we've made it to this point yet.
Well, we could possibly distract Berg, have this conversation while they handle the humans.
Now, you know that there is a long, tense, like, peace between Thornheim and Kettleguard, right? Like, it's never broken into open, like, warfare between your two villages. You hate each other, but, like, at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you maybe keep that in mind, that breaking that peace is meaningful.
Right.
Yeah.
I say we attack. I mean, they once stole an entire crop of radishes from my uncle. I do not like these guys.
Well known.
Why else would they be hiding their banner?
Again, I think you don't understand how powerful Berg can be. Even though we have great numbers, it could be a battle we may lose. Mm.
Then what I would propose is that we surround them in secret. And when we're ready to come out with our swords drawn, ready to surround them because we have greater numbers, you can try and talk to him while we distract the others and maybe talk before we get into battle.
I guess we could surround the area and have our archers pointed at people and kind of do one of those things. I'm not smart enough. What do you call those?
Archers?
An ambush?
An ambush! Yes! That's the one. Ambush. What? That's the one. Yes, right. Yes. Verily.
We want to be ready, but we don't want to be the ones to make the first move because then who knows what'll happen between our villages.
All right, well then, let's surround the camp and I will call to Berg.
Do you need my support?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If it does come to fighting and we prevail and there is looting, I call dibs on any radishes.
Okay. Radishes right. Are yours.
Thank you.
Great.
All right.
Any
we'll
other
take
roots?
The gold.
We would cut, you like carrots?
We cut. We cut. When you say that, we cut to a shot of the camp, the Thornheim camp, and they're all just sitting around eating radishes like they're apples. Like,
these are the best radishes we've ever had.
Gods be praised for these delicious radishes that we love so much.
They'll pay for this. They'll pay dearly.
Not since they stolen these radishes from the gourds.
All right, let's do this.
All right.
Okay. So
let's surround the camp.
So the plan is here. Now they have their sort of backs to the edge of the forest, and they're camped next to it. And then the road runs up to kind of where you are. There's a chance they might have already seen you. It didn't seem like they were like ready to pounce yet. But also, it doesn't seem like they were setting an ambush. Like they were just out in the open. Mm-hmm. When you approach, like when you want to surround them, you'll have to come down the hill, in which case they will likely see you.
Hmm.
I assume that you've got most of your folks hiding kind of back behind the hill, so you're not all just standing up at the top being like, what should we do about those guys down there?
So maybe a vantage point is more of a method rather than completely surrounding them.
Yeah, you have the higher ground right now.
Maybe we draw them out, rather. We let them notice us, but they have to come to us where we have the advantage.
Just get me close enough to be able to talk to Berg.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the plan?
Then I think we'll step onto the top of the hill and allow them to see us. They have to come out to us.
Okay. All right. And is this a clear, like, calling out? Are you going to, like, wave the banner and be like...
I'd like to yell out to Berg.
Yeah? So you're just going to shout?
Yeah, just going to shout. Yeah.
All right. Okay. You shout anything in particular?
Yeah, I say, Berg!
Yeah, good.
It is I, Adric Frostbeard. Whatever they're paying you, we'll double it.
Okay, it's a good boast. Let's have you make a roll. Make a influence roll.
All right. I have a +2 to influence.
Okay.
And I have that's a 2, so I got 4 influence.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. So we cut back down to the camp, and when Berg hears his name, he like jumps up and grabs his club, like, oh, something to kill. And then Tyr comes out, and he's like, there, Berg. Stay calm. Keep our heads about us for now. Well, let's go and meet them. And Tyr and Berg and a handful of men and women armed with bows and swords, you see them leaving the camp and start making their way up the hill towards you. Do you do anything as they approach, or do you just wait?
I mean, as far as the leader's concerned, I mean, it should be obvious we have archers pointed with pointed arrows at them. We mean, we have a defense.
We keep up our defense and also keep an eye on the weapon that we're trying to protect here.
I'd like to yell down to Berg maybe one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Since when did you take orders from humans, Berg?
He shouts back, since when did you?
Hmm. Okay. Alright.
So then I join in. Berg, brother! Good to see you again.
So you get to that awkward distance where you're still like having to raise your voice. Well, maybe not so much you guys, but for you to communicate, to kind of raise your voice to shout at them, they're still, you know, like a short bow's shot away. And Berg starts to come forward and you're like, Berg! He's like, hey! And then Tyr's like, no, calm down, buddy. And he stops. He puts on kind of like an angry face. And Tyr looks at the group of you, and he says to you, he's like, Shield Maiden, where's your father?
You know very well where my father is, but that's not important here. I am here, and what have you come here for?
So you are the one responsible for this caravan?
Yes, and you're responsible for this group you've brought here too?
He nods and he says, yes, we're on our way to a wedding.
As are we.
Well, I would be happy to entertain you in my camp, you and your friends. Night is drawing near. Come, drink with us.
And is that all that you wanted, that you've been sitting in the edge of the forest waiting for?
With your flag unfurled.
He grins lasciviously at you, and he says, just a drink for now. And he ignores your Varl friend.
Where'd the smoke come from?
And he turns, he looks, he scowls, and he says, something going on in the woods. I wouldn't know.
Well, seems to me that since we're both going in the same direction, maybe we do go together. Seems we have friends amongst these humans.
Yeah, and he's smiling and nodding as you say that. And he says, I think we could be of great use to one another.
I'm going to lean over to Torvald and say, didn't you say they came from the other direction? If they were actually heading to the wedding, they would have backtracked.
Yes, they hooked around, skirted the edge of the forest. He's full of lies and radishes.
Yeah, one of his soldiers just looks her in the eyes, Torvald, just like...
I'm enraged.
Yeah, I feel it. So yeah, what do you
relay?
Do you,
we relay this information.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I can see their intentions are not to be trusted. They have already lied to us several times in this interaction alone.
I never intended to trust them either, but it might be worth keeping them where we can see them. If we try and separate from them and go off on our own, who knows if they'll try and ambush us at that point.
Perhaps just confront them with this knowledge that we have. Why would they have come from this direction if they were heading towards the wedding as they do?
Agreed. Okay, would you like to shout it at them and ask why?
Sure. A mouth who likes to speak quite often has told us, my dear sirs, that you came from a completely different direction and overheard you saying that indeed... Why didn't you just go straight to the wedding?
And he looks hurt, and he says, so you saw my camp and, what, sent a scout to spy on us? Was it you, little Torvald?
Yeah, it was, Radish Thief! I was spying on you!
And he laughs, and he says, the farmer's life is not for you. We did you a favor in that raid. Look how well you've turned out.
A farmer's life is not for me. You can't even grow your own radishes.
And as a farmer he may be, he still entered your camp undetected.
Yeah.
And he nods and he says, we could use men like you, Torvald. We pay well, and there's glory in it.
Psh, I'll not join the likes of you, Tyr. I suggest you steal your tongue, or Adric will cut it out.
Why don't
He's
we get
quite
to
fond
the...
of cutting tongues out.
Why don't
He's
we get to the point?
Yes.
Let's get to the point here. What are your true intentions here?
And he puts his hands up and he says, I have only hospitality in mind. Come back with me to the camp. Even your Varl are welcome. We'll have a drink. I'll feed you. And we'll talk about the wedding.
I'm gonna...
I think we take a moment to confer.
I'm gonna take a few steps toward him.
Okay.
Oh. Not close enough to touch him. And just put my hand up in his general direction and close my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And concentrate.
Yeah.
And put my hand back down and make eye contact with him. And so, simply turn and go back to my...
Okay. All right. So have you ever interacted with Tyr in person before? Like, would he recognize you? Does he know who you are?
He may.
He might? Okay, let's roll
I'm
for
not
it.
Sure.
I'll roll. What's your influence is 2, right?
My influence is 3.
Influence is 3. Okay. All right.
And then I have persuasion as well as a skill.
Okay. Yeah. This is more just to see if he recognizes you.
Okay.
I think you're all sort of ill renown because you're just villagers right now, but I think you do have a reputation. So, yeah, I think he doesn't know you by person. Like, he couldn't be like, oh, that's Isgard and she's
right,
a witch.
Right.
But he's like, you dress like a witch and you just did a weird thing. what is this? And yeah, and he scowls and he looks at you and he says, what is this?
She's part of our party. Do you have a problem with her?
I didn't realize you had a rogue Valka in your feigned village. What use have you of her? There's no dredge in these lands.
She's not rogue. She's one of our people.
And her use is of none of your business, sir.
And there's, yeah, like, you can see that like, they're a little unnerved. They're not afraid, but they're just kind of like, wow, this is weird, Tyr. We should just go. And he, like, puts his hand up, and everybody, like, his goons kind of quiet down. And he says, I've made you a fair offer of hospitality. Take it or leave it.
Berg, it is not right for a Varl to lie to his brother.
Yeah, when you shout his name, Berg stops picking his nose and, like, looks looks up at you.
Classic Berg.
Yeah, always picking his nose.
Berg, it is not one for a Varl to lie to his brother. So tell us truthfully, what is going on here? What do you have plans for us?
And he says, Tyr has given me opportunity to fight. And so I follow him. And he says, fight. And I do.
So their intentions are to fight.
And Tyr says, no, Shield Maiden, of course not.
Berg, I think your Varl just gave your position away.
Berg, I have seen your true intentions.
My character sympathizes with Berg a little bit right. When he accidentally gives away the plan.
Berg!
So Tyr says, I assure you, Berg is a mere bodyguard. These are dangerous times, and an important man such as myself finds it valuable to spend some of my gold on hired muscle. You understand? You've 2 of your own.
We could have 3.
Indeed.
Berg, join us. Leave this sniveling man behind who does nothing good for you. And be with your Valkin.
And Tyr, full of himself, like, folds his arms and he's like, I do what you want to do, Berg. Like, I'm going to pay you. And he just looks at him, and Berg scratches his head and, like, looks around like, ah, Berg doesn't know what to do.
Berg, I cut off a dude's head like 2 days ago. You want to get in on that some of that action?
And said you want to fight.
And Tyr says to him, Berg, there'll be plenty of time for fighting and gold and all the other benefits of serving me. Let's have, like, an opposed roll. Let's see if you can convince him versus, like, Tyr convincing him. So I'll roll for Tyr, and then I'll let you know what you need to beat. So Tyr's, like, the mayor. He's got an okay influence. I'm going to give him a 2. He's not as influential as, like, Isgard, but... Ooh, I got a 20. I got rolled an 18,
ooh.
So...
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on. Are we both rolling?
Oh, boy. Those are small numbers.
Those are small numbers.
A 5 and a 7.
7.
All right. Yeah,
so, Berg looks at Tyr, and he kind of has that look of a, like, can I, Dad? Can I? Can I go and, like, hang out with my friends? And Tyr just shakes his head, like, don't be an idiot, Berg. And Berg just, like, like, I'm sorry. And you see him, like, kind of shrink up a little and, like, fall back a step. And Tyr says to you, he's like, I think we're done here.
Can we speak then before we make a final decision here? Mm-hmm. What use do we have with this camp?
If we can overcome them, we can take their supplies, but is it worth risking any of our people?
I've no love for Thornheim.
Yeah,
if
so when
it's
you
battle.
When you say that, and, like, word has gotten out that it's like, oh, a bunch of Thornheimers,
yeah.
I will say that, like, a significant number on the original question of what people brought with them, a significant number chose knives. Ah. So, like, you look back, and there are other villagers who are, like, Thornheimers. Oh, yeah. Well, we hate them also. So there's like, a good chunk of your caravan that's, like, raring for a fight to begin with.
Mm. Well, I have no allegiance to either town, really, except for the one we come from that gave me a nice big home to live in. But I'm just here to fight, so if you want a sword, I'm here.
All I'm saying is that they have clearly set themselves up to fight someone. If we do not fight them, it is very clear that they will soon try to fight us. They cannot be trusted in this position.
All right, agreed. Let's do it. Let's fight them.
And we start on high ground, so we have the advantage if we take them first.
You're in command.
Then okay. Let's do it.
So what do you do to prepare? And this is great. You're setting me up for a fantastic cliffhanger. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to prepare for battle, right? So you turn back to Tyr, and Tyr's like, well, what are you going to do? Like, come and hang out. I'll tell you what I want. Or, and so you just turn around and you're just like,
I'm going to say you came here for a fight. Yeah. Then you've got one.
And he shakes his head, and he's like, typical. And he sighs, like, big dramatic sigh, and he turns away. And Berg is just like, yes, awesome. And he picks up his club, and he looks at the two of you like, this is going to be awesome. We'll see you guys later. and the group of malcontents head back down towards their little camp on the edge of the woods. So you know now your intent. What are you gonna do to prepare?
Well, we're going to make sure all of our people have their knives ready.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that the weapon that we're traveling with is mm-hmm. secure. Maybe not everyone who's equipped to fight, like children and women and just the weaker, will stay with the supplies. Mm-hmm. And we can go down in a group with all the weapons to fight them.
Okay. And you want to do that, like, right this second? Like, get everybody together and just, like, run down the hill after them? So it's misty. There's a little bit of, like, haze in the air. It's coming up on nighttime. So, yeah, if you want it to be, like, a big open field battle, you probably want to wait till daytime. But if this is a whole, like, murder them in their sleep, attack them at night kind of deal, then, you know, just wait till the sun finishes going down.
I think it would be the best advantage we'd have to take them now.
Excellent.
Rather than let them prepare.
Agreed. We don't want to give them an opportunity to come in the night and attack us.
Yeah.
Well, and do
especially
we?
Especially if they know what we have.
Do we think that they respect any kind of war law that says let the enemy sleep and we'll attack in the morning?
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
I mean, if we did want to attack in morning, we could set watch. They'd have to come all the way up the hill to get us, so we would see them coming, I imagine.
Well, they could have someone sneaky like you in their
no,
midst.
No, right. Yes. A sneaker. Mm. You're right. We should attack them now.
Okay. All right. Well, great. So I think then the last scene that we have is of everybody sort of girding their loins for battle. Right. We get the sharpening of swords.
I take out my war hammer.
Yeah. 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 The preparing as the sun goes down. The tension in the camp is that there will be a battle by night with the hated Thornheimers, and your camp is behind you. The caravan is ready for battle. And I think that's where we kind of fade out on the episode.
Yeah.
And
so we'll, all right.
I know. So we'll start the next one on a big battle scene. Ooh. Probably. I mean, battle. You're gonna
bring my shield.
You're gonna come on them in the night. So
phrasing.
Yeah, it might be a horrific murder. Listen, you do what you want to do. It's a role-playing game. You can do whatever
we
you want.
Should have torches, too, but since it might be dark by the time we go down there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, those guys had to... Oh, wait, they left.
Oh, that's right.
And you killed
that's
them.
Right, I did kill
them. Yeah, if only
oh,
we had...
No.
If only we had a drunk named Svirt. cool. So that'll conclude our episode.
Wow.
For the day.
Wow.
Yes. I'm going to borrow your headset since, you know...
Oh, right. Hey guys, thank you so much. Special shout out to everyone at this table for coming out to play. There are going to be 3 more episodes of this. Huge, huge shout out to Versus Evil and Stoic for putting this together. They're doing this. This is so cool that an indie game is making this happen. You need to go pick it up. It comes out in 2 days, July 26th. There are links in the chat as well. If you scroll down on the channel page, click that and pick up the game. And it's really great. If you like this world that we're exploring right mm-hmm. now, you should definitely get it. A big shout out to Adam for coming,
yay!
Flying into town to do this for the next For 4 weeks total, flying into town to do this, that's a huge commitment. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you to all the new subscribers tonight, all the support. This is our only show today. Usually we have a lot more going on, but as you can see, we had to rebuild the entire studio to do this for this special occasion. So stick around. Right after this, we're doing a special replay of all our Tin Candles episodes from the Charlie Chimp story. It's spooky. It's a horror RPG. And tomorrow we will be here with a fun, silly... kind of 80s-inspired horror RPG, as well as the Star Wars Edge of the Empire RPG. So stick around. Thank you guys so much. Big shout-out to everyone here. See you all next week at the exact same time, 7 p.m. next Tuesday. Woo!
Thank you, guys!
Yeah, bye-bye!
Thank you.